Let's do this. Shortest show ever.
Yeah!
45-minute show.
Woo!
What the f*** is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WTF at TFW here on March 1, 2012. This really should be March 2, but it's a leap year, so yesterday was a phantom alien spooky ghost day. Hope that you enjoyed your February 29th, because you're not getting another one until we're way the hell past episode 200. With me today is Gog Dog.
Hello.
Hey, Gog Dog.
Hello.
You know about the Lolly Lou Lay Low? Yep. Also with us today is Seth Buzzard.
Well, you know what they say about leap year day. Real life is for March.
Oh. Anyway. I'm not going to argue with you.
You shouldn't.
Good. Good. We are here today to talk to you about Transformers, but first we're going to talk about something that I honestly really hoped that we wouldn't have to talk about again ever, but now we totally do because it has had its stakes raised again. So
got personal, yo.
Well, let me give you some timeline here. So first off, thankfully, we recorded episode 188 when we did, because I believe that a day after 188, Aaron got hit with credit card number stealage. Shortly afterwards, we finally got some statements from FunPub, which is that, yo, guess what? Some kind of security leak happened, so you might want to check your credit cards. Let me just fast forward you to where we are now. Number one, all of your user IDs and passwords, if you were a club member with an account on the club site, have apparently very likely been stolen. So if you use that combination of email address and like, if you use your club password with your email address on, say, PayPal, you might want to go change that right the friggin' hell now. Because if someone has your user ID and password for the club site, they can also see your email address, your shipping address, your phone number, et cetera, et cetera. Because that was all in the club's databases. Number two, I believe it was it RazorClaw, quadruple zero on Twitter? He mentioned that a credit card he used with the club once to buy AstroTrain and AirRazor like 3 or 4 years ago, got hit for credit card fraud, which means that at this point, I would say if you have a credit card still that you have ever used ever with FunPub, just consider it stolen and cancel it right now, because it looks like there's like the evidence on the safe end of things is that whatever data theft happened from FunPub, it probably, if you ever used a credit card with them, it seems like it was probably in that stolen data. There's no proof that it was, but at this point, we're just kind of logicking things together, and for the sake of your own financial safety, you might want to cancel that card. And definitely, for the friggin' sake of your own financial safety, if you used an email address with FunPub that you also used with, like, PayPal or your banking institute, and you used the same password on any of those sites, change it right now. Because I am pretty sure at least one TFW member has mentioned that they had suspicious activity that looked like someone had logged into their PayPal account. So be careful. And it's unfortunate that we have to talk about this again, because it just seems to escalate every 10 days or so. Now, Gog, you've been hit with this. You got hit with this a couple weeks ago.
I was actually one of the early ones hit.
Early on.
I got lucky. This is before anyone had publicly heard too much about it being related to the club. There was some speculation. There was certainly some people mentioning the possibility. I know myself, I hadn't done it. I woke up on a Saturday morning to a phone call from my bank asking about some charges. Luckily all the charges for some super lucky reason had gotten declined, but there was enough declined charges on my account for them to call me. So none of my charges ever actually went through, even though they were totally in the hundreds of dollars. Yeah. So I got really lucky. I don't know why it was declined. I think it might've been just something because their system kind of thought it was suspicious through some sort of formula or whatever, but algorithm. So, but yeah, I did have to end up closing my card, and it took about a week to get a new one, which was, it was a little, you know, frustrating to go through that. But, yeah, and a couple people had tweeted to me like, yeah, it's, you know, there's lots of people getting hit this week. And I was like, okay. And it was like two or three days after that, people were like, oh, yeah, there's lots of evidence pointing to the fact that this might be related to the club. So
yeah, this was a real weird timeline. This started off with, hey, fandom credit card number theft. Then it went to, hey, it seems a lot of us who got hit bought Overrun and or Shattered Glass Drift. Then it was, hey, a lot of us got hit, did that, or registered for BalkCon 2012. Then it went back to BalkCon 2011. Now it's gone back as far as friggin' Astro Train and Airazor.
Well, that's interesting, too, because I got hit in 2011 within 2 weeks after BalkCon. And there were several of us that did, too. I believe Krasis did, and I believe Drodimus did. I might be wrong.
But I remember Krasis got hit.
Yeah, but I think Drodimus did, too, but I might be wrong. But if it wasn't him, it was somebody else that we are close friends with that I'm just misremembering because it didn't stick in my head. But mm-hmm. I remember there were a few of us that went through it. I attributed mine to, like, well, I spent the 3 days after BotCon in Vegas. So at any time, you know, that's Vegas. That's where people get taken advantage of. So somebody could have easily just swiped my card when I wasn't looking or something like that. And then whatever. So I didn't think that much about it, but now I'm starting to wonder if this hasn't been going on for a while.
Yeah. And it kind of sucks because, it is a part of a long number of months of, man, it's become less fun to talk about FunPub lately. And I'm kind of bummed by that. Now, Seth, you also got hit. How recent was that?
Like today, maybe yesterday.
And you noticed it, what, like about 30 minutes ago?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because so... when this all started happening, I hadn't used my card with the club since last year for updating my or renewing my membership, and I hadn't placed an Overrun order and I hadn't renewed yet. And I wasn't even going to renew this year. I wasn't gonna. And then when, Gerodimus Prime ended up with an extra Overrun from a group order he was doing, cause somebody backed out and he went looking for somebody to claim it, I went, what the hell? And then I thought, well, now if I'm going to get Overrun, I should have Run Amok. So I guess I have to renew my membership after all. And so there was that first wave of people getting hit a lot. And the club had their credit card system crashing. And there was all that hullabaloo during the Overrun order. And supposedly they had changed companies that they were processing cards with. And that was a couple weeks later. And I was like, well, you know, they're using a different system now. Maybe it's safe. And when it kept going, before kind of there was this thought that cards from the past were getting nailed, because I have used this card with them in the past. So I thought, well, maybe I'm safe. Renewed. And then the next big round of hits started happening, and I started checking my account activity online every night. Like, I come home, that like start my iTunes downloads for podcasts, and then go to my my bank site and review my card activity. And everything had been fine until I didn't check yesterday. Kind of slipped my mind, didn't get around to it. And then when we were getting ready to start recording tonight, and we were kind of going over what the topics were going to be here, I thought, you know what, I'll just check real quick now that I'm thinking about it. And there were two charges of $20 each to an online porn site.
The pornographers were waiting for the one day that you weren't looking.
Yep. And then they went all the way home.
I don't know what that's supposed to be.
So, yeah. I don't go to cam whore sites, and I don't pay for any of that kind of stuff anyway. So that's not good. And it looks like one of those charges was reversed because there's a credit. So I had two deductions and one return, and it's all in pending. So they couldn't dispute those charges. So I have to wait for them to convert and then call back and dispute it. But now I didn't have time to prepare for this. Otherwise, I would have pulled a bunch of money out of the ATM because this card is also my ATM card. So now I'm kind of just stuck with like $12 in ones until I get a new ATM. And I'm going to have to go into the bank tomorrow after work like a savage that doesn't live in a civilized society and actually go inside a bank and stand in line like Soviet Russia, like I'm waiting for potatoes or something. Ask some douchebag if I could have some of my own money, please. Are and then I'll have to produce ID because I don't have a bank card anymore. So I'll have to prove that I am who I am. Like an animal.
Man.
Thanks, the club.
So yeah, this all really sucks.
I'm irritated.
Yeah, that was some theatrical timing almost of Seth getting hit. I should probably clarify, so far, this credit card thing is about as solid as can be, because, I mean, the club is even talking about it. The username password thing is primarily a lot of us deducing it. The club has mentioned, though, in a recent email sent out, that you might want to be careful about username passwords, which is, I think, as close as they can come to saying something about it right now. So, and I gotta, for all this, I will throw a bone here. I was really happy that an email about the username password thing happened, like, within 5 hours of me hearing about it. We didn't have to wait another 3 weeks.
It happened pretty quick.
Yeah, versus 5 weeks.
That's a massive improvement. Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, but as far as communication on this matter, the club has really stepped it up after, not me, a whole lot of people were saying, where's the communication? It has appeared. And I really should, for the sake of fairness, mention that that has happened. However, it really sucks, and it's going to make this coming BotCon really awkward for a lot of people, I think.
Well, what really cheesed me off when the stuff about the passwords started breaking that news, it's like, how do you not have your site completely locked down now?
Well,
like after the credit card thing happened, how have you not, you know, brought in some experts and completely replaced your whole deal? You could get hit again.
A bunch of us are pretty sure that whatever data theft happened, probably like it was all just one big data thievery. This is all complete speculation, and it's not the fun kind of speculation. It seems the most likely thing that happened is that there was a data center with all of this info, and it got just hit in one big bang. And to me, that seems the most likely thing. Because I think that the main tip off on the username password thing was some of the PayPal stuff and the weird logins that happened. I had a weird login happen on my Google account, except that I don't use the same password on Google, so I'm still not sure what that was. But it is a massive bummer.
BoardWise had told me that with Firefox, you could bring up a list of all the logins and passwords that you instruct it to save to make things easier when you go back to sites. So that made it pretty easy to find out where else I was using this password. Luckily, there was only two other places. So I got those changed immediately last night.
I just went on memory. I changed my password wherever I thought I could. I think there's a chance that on like a micro RC car site, Vangelis may suddenly start posting about weird stuff. But that's their loss. In regards to what the club is doing about all of this, they have taken the store down, as far as I recall. They've basically shut down any way to give them a credit card number digitally. Completely separate topic that I still haven't actually even really read into much is how people are able to renew their memberships now. A PDF was put up missing some lines of data, which apparently had a new PDF go up to fix. I'm not sure how that all went down. They're saying you can write your credit card number in there if you want. I really wouldn't want to. I mean, just in light of all this, it's not something I'm really interested in. I had some tweets saying, hey, don't you miss the days of the fax machines? I don't, because that involved faxing a handwritten copy of a credit card number, and that was also not very fun. The club also has taken down its forums. Some people have said, oh, so this is what finally got them to take the forums down. I do recall, and I think I checked on this, they actually had been beta testing new forums for some months. I'm not sure why you really need to beta test forums, but there you go. So it seems that this is maybe, perhaps, expediency'd their replacement of the old club forums. I think that the main thing to look at now is there's going to be two things. Number one, is there going to be any more statements from them, any kind of actions from them to make up for all the inconveniences and, in some cases, the folks who have, like, missed mortgage payments or whatnot because of the horrible timing of all this? Number two, what will they do with their websites? Because this is, again, pure speculation, but we all know that the Transformers Club websites have looked like something out of the late 90s at best for years. And when you have security leaks happen and they look like something out of the late 90s, it kind of makes you start doing math in your head of like, I wonder if the fact that their site was so friggin' old had anything to do with it getting broken into.
Like, I think it was a Wave Rider on TFW had, because at the bottom of the club forum, there was a link. It was like powered by Power Forum 2.3 or something. And there was a link that said that. And when you clicked on it, I assume it was originally supposed to take you to the creator of the software that did that, to their website. That company doesn't even exist anymore. Instead, it took you just like some random business.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this is like, this is like AOL 4.0 or something, man.
If this is not something that'll spur the club to put down the honestly paltry amount of money to get their web presence back up to the 21st century, I don't know what will. There have even been multiple members of the club offering to do it for free, or do it and give me some toys and I'll make you a proper website. It really needs to happen. Even if it's not fully related to all this data theft, one of the best shows of good faith would be to have a modern looking website at this point. Like, it would really help, I think. And this is for the people who are going to come back, because this unfortunately has burned a lot of people pretty bad. I know a lot of people have said in the heat of the moment, this is not burning the bridge, never coming back. And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, you can't take 100% serious. But people's faith, a lot of folks' faith have been rather shaken. Plural grammar, guys.
Oh, I'm really disinterested in ever coming back. Just the way things have been happening for a while. Just every couple of weeks, it's like another crappy thing over and over again, and crappy responses from the club over Twitter and Facebook and all this. And it's like, come on, there's a point where, you know, everyone's going to break. And without making big threats or things that I'm not going to be able to go back on, I'm not going to go that far, but it's like, I'm going to have to see a lot of changes over the next year to even consider coming back to BotCon.
Yeah.
As long as the club's involved, they have a lot of work to do to bring me back.
Yeah, and exactly what you're saying. Like, one thing that the club has asked continuously is, you know, they've been thanking everybody or asking people for patience and understanding. And, you know, in this situation, like, I understand completely where they're coming from. They don't really have anything else to do other than to ask for that. And whether people give that or not is completely of their own, you know, motivations for that. And anyone who chooses not to do that is in no way in the wrong.
No, absolutely not.
The problem with that, and it's something I've seen several members bring to their attention and haven't really gotten any good answer for, it is, you know, it's like, okay, like in order to be valid with the club, with your club membership to get your run amok as your freebie, you're supposed to be a member registered by March 16th of this year. As long as you register by that day, which up to this point, up until a week or two ago when they took the club store down, you could have registered that day. Like, it's like, okay, I get paid a couple days before that, I'll do it. So with the whole thing with the club store being down and them no longer taking credit cards via the internet, people were asking them for several days, like, what are we going to do? And they said, don't worry, we're looking into it. There will be a solution. It'll be taken care of. No one has anything to worry about. Then several days later, the solution came out that was, well, okay, everyone is going to mail it in. As long as you get your mail in your, the PDF with a check or money order, or you can do the handwritten credit card if you want to, then you'll be fine. Immediately, people started asking the questions, well, what about international members? Because depending on where you live, it could take several weeks for that mail to get there, unless you're paying extra for express mail or something, which I don't think anyone wants to spend $20 or $30 just to send a letter. That's half the cost of the membership to begin with, if you're an international member. The club's response was, well, that's a firm date. It cannot be altered, for we have our reasons why.
Apparently, it's an internal date, is what I saw stated somewhere.
I understand that, but this whole mess was not, like, the fault of your members. It's like, and now you've now basically, essentially, cut off the subscription date by several days to possibly several weeks. Of when these people, internationals, I mean, there's no doubt if you mail it, you know, in the U.S., you're probably going to have time, but even so, you still have days taken away from you. But it's just like, it's just that whole attitude. It's like, there are people out there that have still been infinitely more patient than I have with the way things have gone down. But it just seems like for everything that happens that has been happening to club members, it is not their fault. They're like, it just seems like there's very little that the club is willing to do to meet anyone halfway, even so much as say, okay, as long as if you mail in your payment, if it's postmarked by the 16th, which is the original cutoff date, then you'll be fine. But the club is completely unwilling to do that after I have seen literally, I can't even tell you how many people that I have seen both on the boards and over Twitter make that request to them. And it's either gone completely unanswered or just, they frankly said, sorry, it's not an option. We apologize. And it just, like, little things like that, I think, would make this whole situation go over much more smoothly. But it just seems to be an attitude of, like, they really want members to be patient. They thank them for sticking with them through all this, but there just doesn't seem to be meeting anyone halfway, even when it's not the member's fault.
What I want to see is what they're doing about any of it. It's like they could say, be patient. Oh, we know this sucks, but let us know what you're doing to fix it.
Well,
like, let us know what you're doing about security.
They say that they've contacted several different companies and they're all working together. I don't think they've named any of them, but it sounded like they were hiring people, but I don't know.
I mean, like, it's
at least let us know what you're working together to do.
There's a lot of parts of this where it's like, especially with that internal date, I'm like, you know what? Industry wise, I can understand on a highly objective degree the internal date thing. I still think the postmark with an email, like photocopy or scan your letter, your form, blur out your credit card number if you have it in there, postmark it to them, just figure out a digital and snail mail solution for that, because that really should happen. But all that aside, like, it's, if anything, then hey, guess what? The club has been having the worst run of months I've ever seen it have in a long time. So even if they can't do anything about this, I'm like, hey, I guess that's just one more thing that's gone wrong for them. And whatever it is that went down to whatever 15 black cat coated mirrors they threw out of a window to get this kind of run of poor fortune, that sucks. Right now, I think this next 12 months are going to be absolutely critical for them, at least in terms of their online reputation. See what they do.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think the previous month was more critical.
Oh, for sure. I'm just thinking of, like, what at this point, cutting out all, like, you know, what I would like to see happen. Just thinking about, okay, what should happen, like cutting out all fairness and everything. in these next 12 months, to be generous, 12 months, I honestly, to me, it's like these next 3 months are going to be like absolutely critical to get back whatever faith they can get back, because this has really stirred a lot of people. I know there are people who have been saying they've been emailing Hasbro. I know there are people who have been saying that they would like to know if these credit card numbers were being kept on site, because there is a business protocol about doing that, which there are very angry people who know laws who know how to be loud, angry people who are sending angry messages to people who are kind of in the right veins of communication. And like, I'm not doing it because I'm not that angry, but I can't blame anyone who's doing it, because like I said, there are some dudes who, especially dudes like who have crossover debit credit cards, where they have been put in, like this last month has become a financial hell for them. The dude with the mortgage, Seth having to live on $12 for the next few days until he goes to an in-person teller and, you know, has to deal with, hey, what up, a human being. That's one of the, I don't mean to denigrate Seth's current position. That is one of the lower tier ones, I will admit, but there are very angry people who are a lot angrier than I am, and I honestly cannot blame them for being angry. And you know what?
On Twitter, Twitter.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, on Twitter the other day, you were suggesting using PayPal, and why aren't they using PayPal? And then someone replied to you, like, well, PayPal doesn't like how pre-orders are doing pre-orders or whatever. But 3A, they only use PayPal. And everything they sell is pre-ordered.
Yeah. And
so
that's been another thing that people have been saying for the last 4 weeks, is to tell BotCon or just FunPub that using PayPal would solve so many problems. And that's not to say that PayPal is perfect.
It doesn't even have to be PayPal. When I tweeted that, some people came to me and said, don't forget Amazon checkout and Google checkout and one or two other things. For BotCon, TFCon and a major Calgary convention use a service. I can't remember its name off the top of my head now, but apparently, according to General Techno, this Calgary convention is fairly huge at this point. There are all kinds of, there's all kinds of 21st century solutions for this stuff.
Well, and then somebody else was like, oh, they're probably not going to want to use PayPal because of PayPal fees.
That I'm not going to.
There's fees. there's fees for credit card processing too.
Yeah, Amex is loaded with fees. Loaded up the butt with fees compared to other credit cards.
Yeah, it will be the same or maybe less.
Yeah.
So that's not an excuse.
There have been valid reasons I've been shown, and I'm going to say valid with, you know, lowercase v in quotes, because they are still debatable, I'm sure. And it's certainly not the case like all these black and white solutions that will just work. There are business reasons for everything. Just this is a case where it's like, okay, the one thing the club needs to do is find solutions. The one thing they don't need to do is argue about why other solutions won't work. That they don't need to do. And I'm glad to see they haven't been doing that. That's died off. I'm glad that has died off. These next couple months are going to be very important. I think come BotCon is probably going to be the one of the cutoff dates for a lot of people's patience in terms of when they're going to hear about something. Because after BotCon is done, Transformers fans are going to be sitting there going like, so what's next? Unfortunately, right after BotCon is probably going to be planning for JoeCon, but we'll have to see what happens. This whole thing sucks. And like I said, if you're really mad about it, I don't blame you, because especially if you got your credit card stolen, if you got your finances locked up at the worst possible time, it absolutely sucks. So, you know, just if anything, if you can at least be rational in how you respond to it. Sending an email to Hasbro that is professionally worded and objectively written and just stating the facts without getting angry is going to do more than punching your fist on the keyboard, writing an email. Like if you're going to write an email to someone, to anyone, even to someone in FunPub, take a step back and, you know, breathe before you do it, because it will accomplish more. It's been, given what I've seen of how FunPub folks interact on social media and on message boards, this is not something I'm going to say is a good thing. They often will clam up and kind of go away from you if you get really mad in their face. If you stay calm and rational and professional, they will at least have a dialogue with you.
Before you hit send, like read over what you're about to send, and then edit out the profanities, and you should be okay.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say everyone should always be rational, because you're going to get mad. It's going to happen. But if you can, I just would implore you, if you want to say words that will make a difference, do try to be rational in how you say things. And if you can, professional in how you say things, because that will always accomplish more than just getting angry in someone's face. It's just a fact of life.
Well, and as soon as you start using curse words, then that gives them a reason to then go, well, this person, you can't deal with this, but this person's out of their mind.
Yeah. And like, and guess what? That is
like if you're dealing with somebody on the phone, like you've called tech support or something, as soon as you start cursing, then they could hang up on you.
Yeah. And guess what? That's how life works. If you go to any place of business and just start cursing and screaming and saying you're going to burn their warehouse down, you're going to call Better Business Bureau on their asses, you're going to make their life a living hell, they're probably going to close the door in your face, hang up the phone, have security escort you out, anything like that. Because that, unfortunately, that's just not how civilization works. You know, there is a thing called civil discourse. And I know it doesn't exist on the internet all that much, but especially in matters where legality comes into it, like credit card fraud, you've got to be as level-headed as you can be. And I know that is hard because this is legal stuff is also the stuff that hits hardest to the emotional bone. But I think we've said all we really need to say about it now. And I hope to every floating...
Until the next thing.
Yeah, I hope to every floating like man and woman in the sky who do all kinds of godly deific things that we do not have a topic like this again. Because what the hell else can happen? Like, seriously?
You'll find out.
You had to ask that question.
You'll find out soon enough.
You had to ask that question. Because someone's going to show you.
God. And Buddha. And L. Ron Hubbard. Anyway.
L. Ron Hubbard is my favorite deity.
We're actually going to talk about some...
He's got a sweet yacht.
And he has like a military sea force.
Deities with sweet yachts.
Yo, we're going to make you sweat these drugs out of your system because we're going to make you sweat purple goo. And that means it's good.
Yeah, until you die.
Maybe you shouldn't have done so many drugs, you meth head. We're going to talk about some happy stuff also related to the club. So there you go. Because I did want to talk about some positive news that came up. We do have two voice actors confirmed for BotCon 2012. They are David Kay and Gary Chalk. They are very cool people. And if you've never met them before and you're going to BotCon, you are in for a treat because David Kay and Gary Chalk are two of the most bro bros that ever broed. And I'm glad they're going. They're cool guys. Gog, Seth, I believe that you guys have met at least one of these dudes at some point.
David Kay almost knocked me down.
I wasn't going to bring that one up.
He's freakishly strong and careful around David Kay.
It's all the squash.
Do not hit on David Kay's daughter.
No.
Yeah, definitely don't do that. That is not why I almost he knocked me down. I want to make that clear.
Guess what? If you do anything creepy in a friggin'... Just don't. All right? Just settle. You know, settle down.
All I did was make him laugh.
Yeah, and then he, like...
And then he, like, gave me a shot in the arm, and I went flying.
Flew across the lot, just landed in Weird Al Yankovic's dinner, and you're like, yo, what's up, Weird Al?
Yeah, I was with you when we saw David Kay in 09, and you were all super excited, like, he remembered me.
Yeah, I still can't.
I still got those pictures on my Flickr account.
I still get excited, because I don't know why. I can't calm down around David Kay. The dude's too cool. He's too goddamn cool. Gary Chalk is super cool, too. Last TFCon, that dude was in the lobby playing acoustic guitar for, like, 2 hours. Just chilling out. That guy is super chill. So,
you should have done, like, a Bluto in Animal House and ripped the guitar out of his hand and smashed it against a wall. And then walked away.
I hate this!
That's what you should have done. Just like Animal House.
I'm not as into Animal House as other people, I'm not gonna lie.
You've never seen it?
Nope. I saw the new Hellraiser movie the other day.
Not the same thing.
It's a movie. I saw Citizen Kane.
Okay.
More than the first 90 minutes this time?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
We finished it next class. So I saw the end.
We got in just deep enough to pull that clip for the intermission.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. I like that scene a lot, and I don't know why I really wanted that to be the intermission.
Because it's the kind he's ranting and raving in the way that you tend to rant and rave when you rant and rave.
I'm going to send you to Sing Sing. Hear me, Kenny's! Sing Sing! And then they close the door on him. Oh, it's so good. Gary Chalk and David Kaye, see them soon in Citizen Kane 2 at BlockCon 2012. We also...
The Kananing.
The Kananing. We also got the prologue pages, two prologue pages for the BlockCon 2012 comic, which brings us back to the Axiom Nexus, where the very sexily voiced Transtech Shockwave lives and should appear in audio and visual media at some point because he's the best Transtech character ever. We do get to see Transtech Prowl, Rhinox, and Transtech Beast Machine Scavenger, who's kind of like that Scavenger and Armada Scavenger, sort of. I don't know. He looks neat. You know what I like about these pages, though?
Nothing. Oh,
I think the colors are fantastic.
The colors, yeah.
They are so
about those.
The colors bring these pages to life.
I couldn't even read the text. For just the color was just sending endorphins throughout my bloodstream.
Oh, like that Overlord coloring job, those turquoises. Like seriously, I popped a zipper. Like I had to go and buy a new zipper and stitch a new zipper on the front of my pants.
I thought you were one of the cool kids that used button flies.
Button flies? No, man. Metal everywhere. Staples and zippers and buckles.
Buttons are metal, dude.
Yeah. They're hella metal.
You're talking about plastic buttons. Little plastic dinky buttons, like on a little grade schooler's knapsack.
I'm not talking about your cute little sport coats that you wear.
Hey, listen, all right? Some of those aren't sport coats. Some of those are oriental coats. They have an oriental collar.
You should ask Razorwire what he thinks about your oriental coat.
Listen, I know Ron will totally dig my oriental necktie coat, okay? It's got the little Chinese collar. Makes people say, hey, you got chopsticks? And I'm like, I do. I keep them in my back pocket. So, in this comic, apparently the Transtech universe just kind of chill out and look at other universes. And so they see Overlord, like, friggin' butchering people. And like, oh, look, they have an Overlord. He's short. That was interesting. Not really a whole lot to discuss in that it's only two pages of comic book, but it looks pretty. Gog, how do you feel about these comic pages?
Every time I look at the colors, it sends endorphins through my bloodstream.
Just wanted to double check. Hey, Seth, how do you feel about these comic pages?
Well, Gog said he couldn't read the text because he was so endorphined out. I wish I was that endorphined out.
It cannot be.
It is. They also have... They also have an overlord over there who's different. Okay, great.
Hey, he's truly terrific.
Okay, well, you know.
I don't know
they found a way to explain it, and that's the way they found, and good for them.
Have you ever heard of alliteration? Because it's pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I saw that scene in V for Vendetta.
Okay, good. Who's the guy in the bottom right of the second page that Overlord is going to like cut up?
I don't know, the colors were too astonishing.
Like, it looks like there's a little dude driving that robot, so is that, like, supposed to be U.S. military, or what?
Maybe Spike in that dimension is a little taller than normal.
The classics verse, apparently. They actually wrote the word classics.
Is that where that overlord is supposed to be from?
Bottom left of the second page, it says that the
classics universe overlord?
Primax blah 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 epsilon is the classics verse. So it actually has the letters C, S, and V in a row. Like, it's a word that uses C, S, and V in a row in the middle of the word. That's amazing. The classic verse. That's
that's
awesome.
That's unfortunate.
I think it's fantastic. We need more consonants in literary works of art, and I'm glad that someone finally did it.
Well, I think it's unfortunate that they've decided that this overlord is Classics Overlord.
He's not Classics Overlord. He is the Classics versus the Overlord, Gigatron. He's an overlord.
Right. That's what I said.
Right. Made me hit my desk again.
You shouldn't hit your desk while recording.
Why not?
It doesn't sound good.
Sounds good because I can do it over here. I don't even know what I'm hitting.
You're going to be editing. Oh, no, you're not going to be editing this episode. Gog is going to be editing this episode, and your smashing, making noise is going to permanently deafen him forever.
Well, I am checking my waveform, so it's not actually going over, you know, 12 decibels or whatever that reading is.
Gog is going to be permanently more deafened than being three people back at a Radiohead concert show.
Oh, spoilers. Spoilers. Anyway, that's all of our fun publications topics for this week. Let's move on to some deaf. New pick picks. Hey, Gog Dog.
Oh, Seth, what's up, buddy? Go ahead.
Okay.
That was amazing.
Only if I could put my boobs on you forever.
No, only for one set list.
Oh. You could have done better in negotiations.
We'll talk after this.
Okay. On hey, third parties.
Whoa.
Still happening.
Oh God.
They are still going on. Where did the pitcher go? I know what I want to talk about. I'm just trying to get back to the pitcher.
It's getting away from
here. It is. BTS Toys. They have two cassette bots coming. Savage and Night Fang, or not Ravage and not Rat Bat.
Mm-hmm.
So these, okay, the not Rat Bat looks pretty amazing. How much it opens up and unfolds and gets so thin. The wings. It's incredible. The not Ravage, I'm not as impressed by. I think it looks a little kind of off.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like he might have metal legs.
There would be precedent for that.
Pieces.
I messed with the Rumble and Frenzy they did. I messed with the GM Fan 101's copy of that toy, and they have metal feet.
Right, and that would go with the original Ravage. Like, mm-hmm. It looks like it's the same leg pieces, same parts of the legs, which is pretty awesome if that is the case. But like in this picture I'm looking at now, it's a pretty good sized picture, and just the texture on those leg bits looks like metal and not just painted. So that'd be pretty amazing. Now, I've been a connoisseur of smaller third party toys, and I am very curious. I mean, and in these pictures you see in cassette forms, they will work with your old school Soundwave,
mm-hmm. or actually, your Sonicron.
This picture bigger, yeah. Well, this is the Soundwave with the retooled chest, the bigger Sound Blast, not sound, the bigger cassette door,
the fat door
for yeah.
It was Sound Blaster. You were right.
Yeah, Sound Blaster. Okay, I chickened out. I thought I had names confused. Yeah, so I can't tell if it requires that size door or if it will work in your... actually, it looks like it might. I can't. It's hard to tell from these pictures if you will need the fatter doored body.
There's a chance, because you did need the fat door for the G1 Rat Bat. though, if these are sized like G1 Rat Bat, that actually could be a chance. I'm curious now how it's gonna roll.
Well, here they have pictures of Rat Bat.
They're right next to each other.
Yeah, with this not Rat Bat. So let's see this angled one. Yeah, they look to be the same thickness.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize Rat Bat was thicker.
Yeah, he was always the one of I think it was Rat Bat Onwards. Those tapes didn't fit in the original Soundwave, if I recall correctly. That's why Sound Blaster was always kind of a deal, because he could not only hold two cassettes, but he could hold the fat cassettes that didn't fit in the original.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and I have those, or I have a Rat Bat, and I have older cassettes, so I just never noticed, I guess.
These guys have me getting tempted to go for that Sonicron that's on sale on Big Bad. Even though I've messed with a Sonicron and I know I don't really like it, it looks better with the BTS cassettes hanging around it because they all kind of have the same sort of sculpting. And I don't know, I'm getting tempted. I already want to pick up their Rumble and Frenzy because I messed with GM fans and they're not the best toys, but the fact that and if these guys cost the same thing, these tape 2-packs cost like $20 in shipping out of China, maybe just around $30 in the States. That is what makes them kind of cool. Like if they were like $40, I'd say, that's just not worth it. But being 20 to 25, they are actually pretty cool. They have some really neat gimmicks. And the, like you said, Rat Bat here or Night Fang, even though he doesn't look as amazing as the CG concept art, I think he still turned out really cool. Like that silhouette is tremendously neat. And, kind of want it.
How much is Sonicron on sale for?
He's 35 on Big Bad. Used to be 60.
Yeah.
It has me. If he was 30, I'd do it, but 35, I'm kind of rubbing my chin.
I was just scratching my chin thinking about it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it in person also. I didn't actually get to mess with it. It's not great from what I've seen.
The black
one. That's getting close to go for it price, but
yeah. If the black one ever comes out, if the black one ever comes out, I'd probably go for that one because I did get to look at a black one. They aren't released yet, but some guys did get review samples of them, and the black one did feel a lot nicer than the blue one. Like it just had a tighter construction. I don't know.
Just the sculpt of it, like the proportions. For me personally, it's almost there. Mm-hmm. It's just a little kind of off in ways that kind of rule it out, but it's so close to being something really cool.
That's a lot like their Rumble and Frenzy. They look almost good in robot mode, but they look just a bit off. But the thing is that they are also like not that expensive. So you're like, well, they weren't that expensive, and they are kind of fun to transform. And they got like they have a really cool gimmick for attaching the pile drivers. The way their head transforms is really neat. And it's like, all right, like, and they're posable. So it's like they're not amazingly posable, but they're posable enough. It's like, all right, these guys do enough good to the point where I'm like, okay, so I can say confidently their robot mode's shape is a con, but they also have pros. And that's kind of how I feel about a lot of BTS stuff. It's like, it does all these cool things, and it does this one thing really badly, but it also does all these cool things, and I don't know. That's how I always feel about their stuff. It's weird.
Yeah, and we don't have to get into it, but the, is it iGear is doing the Cosmos? They showed the Cosmos?
Yeah, that's iGear's mini-bots thing.
Here's the big question. I didn't really get a chance to investigate this myself yet, so maybe you guys have. Is this an original transformation, or are they biting?
Oh, you mean on the Cosmos?
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, it's original, because those mini-bots are not, like, in-house iGear. They're some other guy who's selling his stuff through iGear, as I understand it. Which is why they look so much better than some of the other iGear stuff.
Yeah, it's just like the way the shoulders are, it kind of looks like that official Cosmos that came out a little while back.
Oh, the Legends one?
And which started, Yeah, which started making me kind of like, I don't know what's going on here.
I don't have the Legends Cosmos, so that also that wasn't on my mind when I was looking at it. That would be worth checking on. Any listener out there who can do some side by side, or maybe someone who did it in the thread and I'm just too lazy to go look. Yeah, I don't know if that one's cribbing anything, because I mean the Sea Spray and Huffer felt pretty original. Did you see the Brawn that they're doing?
I don't think so.
Oh,
maybe. I mean, that sounds familiar. Maybe I saw concept art a while back, but I haven't seen anything updated. But like with Cosmos, I think it's kind of cool that he has like this clear plastic bubble over his head.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is really cool. Like Brawn? Looking at this Cosmos, I mean, maybe his arms are. That also comes down to the case of, is he cribbing engineering or is he just transforming the most logical way he can transform for a flying saucer man?
Right.
Like, I'm not sure. But yeah, that him and that Brawn, like, apparently they're going to upsize all of them, too, to being more like outright scouts rather than legend size. And if they're still going to be,
is that going to put them out of scale with Rager and Spray?
Apparently not. Like, apparently they have a plan, and they're going to, like, they're not going to make
them upscale Razor and Spray also, and then
I think that it's, like, in the canon of the Mini Warriors, Rager and Spray are just going to be short guys, and the other ones aren't. I don't really know.
All right.
But, I mean, if they can stay, like, 15 or even 20 bucks shipped, I can show you. The Brawn is called Hench. That's his unofficial name. Here's a picture of his render art on the news item about them being upscaled somewhat. Also, I gotta say, Hench is like the like it's an ugly, ugly, horribly ugly name, but it's also kind of awesome. Because back in the day, there was this comedy show called Smith and Smith. It was a husband and wife team. The husband went on to become the man known as Red Green. But he had a character he played in that thing, which was the butler for like a monster mansion, and he had this off-screen Igor that he called Hench, and made me kind of happy to see the word come up again.
Yeah, seeing his head kind of tucked in with stuff all around it, I just hope it's easier to get your fingers in.
Oh, they're going to ball joint that thing. They're going to ball joint that thing and seal it up and go like, all right, break out your tweezers. By the way, his head's shaped like a dome. Have fun trying to get a grip on it with anything.
You see all these silhouettes too.
Yep.
That yep. Kind of looks whatchamacallit-ish.
It's the
his face.
Power Glide, Beachcomber.
Yeah, Beachcomber, that's what I was trying to remember.
Yeah.
Now is this Pipes next to Rager?
Could
similar
be.
Similar shaped arms.
Could be. This is a cool series.
Might be Wheelie in the corner.
Oh, I would buy
maybe
the
Wheelie.
I'd put my money in Wheelie. I should move on from there, though. Yeah, we've been talking about that stuff for a while. Hey, Gog, did you find a new pick yet?
Yeah.
All right.
Cosmos. I totally screwed them.
It was a little shakier than I thought, too, because I was just going to be like, oh, I'll just go ahead and pick the Hall of Fame winners. Oh, wait, just realized that was in the topic list. I wasn't as clever as I thought I was. No, we got somebody had posted pics from Hasbro catalog showing Botshots Wave 4 and 5.
Uh-huh.
I'm super pumped for Botshots, and one of the reasons why is because all these... There's like 40 Botshots that were planned, I think, before we even knew Botshots existed. Like, Hasbro is super behind this whole concept. And that's... Yep. That's kind of amazing to me how they're like, it's not just like, hey, we'll put out a couple waves and see what happens. Like, it's like they are already on their fifth wave of this stuff, and I think it's great. But we've already covered Botshots up to wave 3, which was the lockdown wave, which I think I brought up within mm-hmm. the last few episodes. But confirmation, Botshots wave 4, movie Ironhide, Power Glide, Jazz, Leadfoot, and the Superbot, which is the chase figure, is a clear blue Optimus Prime. Botshots Wave 5. Skywarp. There you go, Seth. Roadbuster. Yeah. Dark of the Moon-esque Megatron. Battle Mask Bumblebee. and the chase figure is a clear purple Shockwave.
Oh my god.
So that's kind of awesome. Yeah. So BotShots continues to impress me.
Yeah. Even if only 40 BotShots ever come out, like if this line just disappears overnight, they've already friggin' hit 10 marks over what I ever thought they'd hit. Like, that's just cool. That's some cool stuff. The 3-packs are already being cited, too, aren't they? Like, the Acid Storm has legitimately become difficult to find, from what I've heard.
I think PR got the set with Acid Storm, didn't he?
There's a few people that I follow on Twitter that have gotten the set, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so a lot of people have gotten it, but then people who have gone back looking for more have had trouble, from what I've heard. I believe that his set is also, isn't it one per case of the 3-packs?
I don't know.
I think they tried to literally make, like, legitimately make the chase figures in a way, but I'm not too sure. But no, I am looking forward to getting my hands on a BotShot. I believe because I was asking SuriBot to look for a 3-pack and then someone piped in and said, hey, don't get this one, that I may have a BotShot on the way, but I'm not sure yet. Find out. They look so damn cool, though. Just so characterful. Like, and it all just comes together beautifully in the fact that they're also so damn inexpensive. Like, that is what seals the deal on them for me. Cool. I want to talk about, for my new pick, some other tiny robots. I see this actually as a bit of good news after it being seen as some bad news. We got better pictures of the ARMS Micron Transformers Prime series coming out in Japan. Now, the first couple of pictures of these guys did not look too good because all we saw was they were even less painted. They had weird Minicon ports slapped on all over them, and they came with Microns. Now, these new pictures show some of the sticker applications. I specifically want to bring up the robot mode picture of Ratchet because the Japanese Ratchet picture we saw had, like, no stickers on his legs at all. So his leg, he was literally just, like, stark white from the waist down. Like, he looked like he forgot to put his pants on. He now has the red leg detailing that the US release has painted on. I believe that's a sticker, though. If this Ratchet, like, if the stickers of these guys are really good, tight, non-peeling stickers, I am going to be happy that I got the Ratchet, because I do think he looks fantastic if these are, like, Repro Labels class stickers. So that's one thing I wanted to bring up. The other thing I wanted to bring up is we got better looks at all the Minicons, and holy goddamn, I want all these Minicons. Like, these things look really cool. Specifically, if you could take a look at Megatron's Minicon in his robot mode, many people, like, this Minicon's called Gora. Clearly it's a gorilla from a distance. Look at his robot mode. Look at his head sculpt. That is friggin' Lugnut as a Minicon who turns into Megatron's fusion cannon. Like, I don't care if you're going to tell me that's not Lugnut, because I'm going to get a couple of them and I'm going to paint one to look even more like Lugnut, because there's no way that is a coincidence that Lugnut would turn into the trademark weapon of his beloved master. Like, that's perfect. Also, if you look at the Minicon that comes with Optimus Prime, even though it's called Oppie, the Minicon's robot mode is friggin' Shockwave. Like, right down to the chest.
Which makes it weird that it comes with Optimus Prime.
Really weird! Yeah, like, right after they got the home run with, basically, Lugnut, who turns into a fusion cannon with fold-out knife weapon, just like Prime Megatron does have, and they did do this weird one with Oppie. Also, Ratchet's Minicon, if you take a look at his robot mode, is totally like a crazy little medical dude. Like, he has doctor stuff on his head. I don't know necessarily what it all is, but it's like circles sticking out of his forehead and his eyes, which look pretty cool. Also, Skywarp's Minicon in its robot mode, I know this is way more of a stretch, but after seeing the Lugnut one, I was like, is this Minicon the doctor? Like, Scalpel? Like, I know it's not. It's totally not Scalpel. But it kind of made me think of Scalpel right away. And I also want to say, Cliffjumper's Minicon has a damn cool weapon mode. The only problem is that, like, while Ratchet looks really cool, the Megatron that the Lugnut Minicon comes with is the Entertainment Pack Megatron, only with even less paint than the Entertainment Pack version. That's not very exciting. That's not 2,000 yen exciting. But at the same time, I have a feeling I'm going to end up somehow spending 2,000 yen just to get a Lugnut Minicon. Which is the stupidest thing ever, but I'm probably going to end up doing it. I don't know. So these ARMS Microns Minicons have gone from what the hell, whatever, to like, oh my god, these are so cool. Like, they just leapt out at me in these pictures. And I really hope that all these Minicon molds end up in that Gashapon Minicon series, so I don't have to buy Prid toys covered in Minicon ports for nearly $30 to get at these. I really don't want to do that, unless they end up looking pretty cool, like the Ratchet one ends up looking like.
You don't want to do that, because that's how much all this stuff is costing in Canada already?
That's right. You know what? Random Factor emailed Hasbro Canada saying, hey, can you tell me anything about Zellers selling deluxes for $25 now because they're called Revealers? And Hasbro Canada basically said, yep, we're aware that they're doing that, but we can't really tell them not to because they already bought the product from us. So apparently the reason why Zellers is charging $25 for deluxes is because they don't know that they're deluxes. So the way Zellers reacts to not knowing what things cost is to just make them cost around $30, apparently. Apparently, though, this has also helped.
How much is this jar of mayonnaise, eh? I don't know. Just ring it up as $30.
$30 is a Canadian constant for reasons I can't reveal to the foreigners. We also, on the other end, have had some luck at Toys R Us, because if people have found Prid toys at Toys R Us, everything at Toys R Us that's Transformers is on sale right now except for deluxes. But because they're called Revealers, some people have managed to convince Toys R Us's to give them to them on sale, from what I've heard. Because they're like, no, it's not a deluxe, it's a Revealer. Here, look. They're like, oh, I guess, huh, well, that makes sense. All right. And they ring up the sale price. I have not seen any locally, so I can't comment on any of that. But I am way more into ARMS Micron now than I was before. I'm not going to like start throwing down pre-orders for all of it, because at the end of the day, it's still not worth it. But I'm much happier about maintaining the pre-orders I do have for Ratchet, Skywarp, Breakdown, Knockout, and Soundwave. Wow, that sounds like I pre-ordered the whole series, doesn't it? That's, never mind. Just, I'm going to go over here. And I'm going to bring up our next topic, which is TFW 2005's 2012 Hall of Fame winners. Like, if we can have a roll call here, Gog, I know you're going to be the one most excited to deal out this roll call, because...
Am I?
You basically accomplished something here. I'm not going to say that you are single-handedly responsible, but you are kind of incredibly responsible, I think, for one of these top fives. So if you'd like to just, you know, read down the top five.
Should I maybe just start from the top?
Yeah, start from the top.
Actually, where did my tab go?
Uh-oh.
Oh, here it is. Number one. Pulled out from a long time second place into... He was about second place for the first half of the vote. And about halfway through, he pulled out and ended up getting a pretty substantial lead. Ladies and gentlemen, Beast Wars Megatron.
Yes. It says there that in the front page.
Yeah. Was leading the first spot, but slipped a second. But nonetheless, we should all be proud of his accomplishment, ladies and gentlemen. Fred Willard's greatest role ever, Swindle.
That's my boy. And clearly you never saw Fernwood tonight, but that's all right.
Whoa.
I have not. Number three. The guy everybody
thinks
is cool.
I'm going to talk about this guy later.
The guy everybody all of a sudden thinks is cool because now he's got swords.
Swords. For stabs.
The best drift player, cosplayer in the known universe, Wheeljack.
This universe has a drift, and it is called Wheeljack.
He is a totally terrific drift. Sorry, a truly terrific drift.
Mm-hmm. Number four. Definitely someone that I'm not sure would have ever made it into this list if not for her Transformers Prime incarnation. That is not to say anything bad about that, because she is my favorite character in the show, RC.
Well deserved. I was happy to see this one. I didn't think this one was actually going to make it in.
Mm-hmm. I have no problem with RC making that list, even if you were to say based entirely on the Prime version. I'd also sneak in the animated version, because while I don't think the animated version on her own is worthy of a Hall of Fame nomination, still cool character.
I mean, so, let's be fair. She was in how many episodes compared to this, like, to Prime RC?
She was in like three or four, maybe.
Yeah, for the number of episodes animated RC was in, I think she was pretty cool. She definitely, I would say, you know, she deserves a little bit of of a nod out of this one. But
yeah,
let's get to the important stuff.
Number five, the one that had everybody scratching their heads. Couldn't tell if it was a joke. Couldn't tell if it was a feminist agenda.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
So, I mean, not with any negative connotation there. Just the whole, you know, she was the first ever female Transformers toy. At least it transformed. I don't think there were any PVCs or anything before, but whatever. But Minerva, she grabbed the fifth spot.
Can I just, for the people who are still going like, what about this? This is the year of Minerva. Like, let's do the numbers here. We've had an incredible Minerva Korean knockoff with an incredible Repro Label set. So now everyone can have at least a facsimile of G1 Minerva. And CM's Corp is doing two Gutoku releases of Master Force Minerva.
And one almost definitely seems to be aimed at the American audience as well.
Yeah, like it or not, Minerva is getting a lot of attention this year, and that is something that will spur people to think of Minerva. Like, hey, guess what? This is going to be the only year Minerva gets this much attention. Like, that's kind of, I don't mean that as a bad thing, but it's just the cards are falling together correctly here.
Yeah, and you know what? Worst case scenario, her name is out there, and there were lots of people before this that had never even heard her name, the character, anything, who have been exposed to the greatness. So,
yeah,
there you go. She also secured the number three spot on our sister site, Cybertron.ca.
Oh wow, I didn't even look at Cyber CA's nominations.
Yeah, the Cybertron list was. Oh man, I had that up as well. It was I don't remember. She was number three. Devastator was five.
Devastator.
Megatron was number one. So,
Devastator.
Yeah, I know. I think Wheeljack was number
what?
Two or four. No, I think it was Swindle was two, Megatron was one, Minerva was three, Wheeljack was four, and Devastator was five. I believe that's what it was.
What is going on that's making Wheeljack suddenly this, like...
It is his prime incarnation. Swords. One, and he has a... Yeah.
One episode with two swords. Listen,
one
guys,
episode, two swords.
There are four great names on this list, okay? And then there's Wheeljack's name. I'm not saying I think Wheeljack sucks, but he does not friggin' deserve to be on this list. This list should have been Beast Wars Megatron, Swindle, RC Minerva, Skybite. Should have been that list. Should have been.
This is what's going on. I see through this. Back in G1 high school, Wheeljack was a nerd, all right? And then he went away to college where nobody knew him. He reinvented himself, like got some cool clothes, got some swords, and everyone doesn't know that he used to be this total nerd. They think he's this cool, dashing guy. But deep down inside, Wheeljack is still a nerd.
But he has
tricked everybody. Tricked everybody.
I'm playing with my Wheeljack toy right now. This is a good toy. It's one of the best Prid toys. It legitimizes Prid's first wave almost single-handedly. I still haven't messed with Soundwave yet, but when I do, I'm sure he'll do some good stuff as well. That doesn't get you a friggin' Hall of Fame thing like right now. Like, what the hell? Yeah. What the hell?
He tricked everyone into thinking he's not a nerd.
I'd be on board with this if Dr. Smoove was canon.
But he's not.
He's not, sadly. So.
Yeah, and you know what? I was going to say, I was very, like, I think I said this before, Rid is not important to a lot of people, but guess what? It had its big anniversary moment, and I think that if there was any Rid character that was worth such a mention, it would be Skybite. Because that dude managed to even transcend some of the limitations of anime dubbing. So, you guys have succeeded in so many places, but you guys have voted for Wheeljack. You have failed me. You have failed the good cause. You're out of the will. I'm sorry. You are
Swindle all the way.
I'm not leaving you a single damn thing. No, I'm cool with Swindle. Swindle, Beast Wars Megatron, whatever. Like, I wouldn't care either way about it. Like, I think he's great, Swindle. But I'm like, Wheeljack, whatever. Swindle, RC Minerva, damn right. Swindle. Beastworth Megatron, sure. Wheeljack, what the hell?
There is only Swindle.
I'm sitting here trying to imagine all the Wheeljack apologists rushing the thread to tell me why they're... I can't even think of what they're going to say other than, like, swords.
I have a pretty good question. I think we know who I voted for. I think we know who Seth voted for. Who did Vangelis vote for?
Wheeljack.
I can't remember anymore. Where's the thread?
Guess what? You can go to the poll right now and it'll tell you because your choice would be italicized.
Link me the poll. I think I voted Minerva, but I'm not sure.
Okay, hold on. Let's find it.
It was either Minerva or Skybite. I thought that Minerva was the one who was going to need the help, like between her and Skybite. I thought Skybite was actually going to pull it off.
Well, Minerva
got help with Gog tweeting about her every 2 minutes.
Yep. Guess what? Freaking worked.
I love how we're having like something that's kind of like a post-election discussion, only it's about cartoon robots.
There you go.
I voted Minerva.
Yeah.
Going to this.
Yeah. Oh. Jack is a flip flopper.
But Minerva was
209. How the?
Yeah. Minerva was in sixth place for a while. She was in seventh place. She took over Prowl, putting her into sixth. She then got a pretty good boost ahead of Rodimus, putting her into fifth, and at one point overtook RC by about 15 votes in the fourth. But I could tell because of the popularity of RC kept pushing further and further ahead until she was uncatchable. Rodimus kept catching up.
I mean, these numbers are real clear cut, like at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, every night when I would go to bed, Minerva would generally have between 7 and 10 votes ahead of Rodimus, and usually come morning time that her lead had decreased to about 3.
Yeah.
Which then resulted in me tweeting a lot. I appreciate your patience, but it worked because it would usually bring her lead back up to about 10. The last day or the night before that final 24 hours, she had maintained about a 3-vote lead. At that point, I kind of got nervous and convinced my good friend Chris here to make a tweet, which then got her about 15 more votes.
Can I mention what was in that tweet?
Well, I want to say first that I'm really glad that I did that because it gave her more of a clear cut lead. But Rodimus never got another vote after that. Actually, he got one. And so Minerva still would have beat him by about 3 in total without your help.
I went on Twitter and I basically was like, you all should vote for Minerva. You all should vote for Minerva. And then I kind of maybe alluded that I was going to post more dubstep on Twitter if you didn't. And I'm glad it could help. I thought Minerva was the one who would need the biggest push to get on this. Clearly she was because she still ended up 5th out of 5. I would have been not happy to see Prowl on that list. No offense to Prowl, but there were more deserving characters than Prowl. I'm looking at
Minerva
this.
Soft on crime.
I am proud that Skybite did beat out Rat Trap. That is an accomplishment. I feel kind of bad for Bulkhead coming in last. I think Prowl should have come in last, but I'm racist. I mean, you know what? The major factor in this that is throwing me off is what the hell happened with Wheeljack? He cleared 200 votes. How the did he clear 200 votes?
Get over it.
Friggin' guy.
The best way to get over it is to support Swindle.
I mean, without Skybite in this race, I don't know.
I will say that I think Swindle has a better chance of making it to the actual Hasbro site.
That's true.
We did good with Minerva. She made the top 5 on TFW, arguably the largest fan site. And she even got a top 3 on another site.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm proud. We got the exposure. Her fan base has grown a bit, and we exposed some people to Masterforce. So.
Yeah. And you know,
that you downgraded Cybertron CA to another site. And not even like,
look hey, at the,
I
guess.
I check that site every day for sightings. I check that site every day for sightings.
There's some way you could have quantified Cybertron.ca to make them sound fancier than just another site.
Well, let's see. The total amount of votes on TFW was about 1,400. The total amount of votes on Cybertron.ca was 109.
Well, you could have called them the premier Transformer website of the Great White North.
Okay, you know what I could have done?
You're racist.
So Minerva didn't need my help. If I'd somehow known that, then I would have pushed Skybyte. That might have taken him over Rodimus and Prowl, and then I could have called in a favor to have Wheeljack friggin' erased from this, and then it would have turned out okay. But instead, we got this farce of friggin' shiny ears, man.
The only vote rigging that should be going on here is Swindle.
Okay, well, now that we have our top five here, like, out of these top five, like, I thought Skybyte was in, so I was going to champion Skybyte. I have no stake in any of this anymore. I feel that the next level for me to go to is to support Minerva, because that's the only one left that really interests me. But if Minerva doesn't make it to the site, then out of those five, I would have to throw in with Swindle.
I agree. If Minerva does not make it, which, you know, she probably will not, and I'm fine, like I said, mm-hmm. we accomplished what, you know, the Minerva Knights accomplished what they set out to do.
This is what I get for not campaigning. This is what I get for not watching the numbers and just kind of guessing, like just thinking that Skybyte would have the pull that I thought he would have. I didn't put the effort into it. I'm not gonna lie.
But yes, if Minerva does not make it and Swindle is on that list, Swindle does have my vote.
If you voted for Wheeljack, please post in the thread and explain yourself. Like, I
think of all the patriots that laid down their lives to give you the right to vote, and you weren't even paying attention.
At least I didn't squander that right on a friggin' missile shoulder ear glow man. Like, that's just... I used to know this website. I don't know anymore. But congratulations to the other four finalists, because you all deserved it. That's also our coverage of the Hall of Fame. Let us do some listener questions. We've got one from Darth Sword 8 or Rucky Ducky, because I just realized that's his YouTube name. Rucky Ducky. Dear WTF and TFW crew, it's me again, and this time instead of a YouTube-related question, I want to ask about BotCon. I know you guys will be doing the usual BotCon prep episode, but I still wanted to ask this anyway, so my question is thus, albeit in a somewhat multiple-choice format. This year is going to be my first BotCon, so I wanted to know. Number one, what is a decent amount of money to bring for souvenir add-ons and a pretty good time in the dealer room? I believe that we've kind of come to the conclusion that if you don't have much money, don't get a credit card. try to amass about 500 if you can. That way you know you'll be able to get the souvenirs, and you know you'll still have a couple hundred for dealer room fun. You guys got any input on that?
It's, after last year, who knows how much you need for souvenirs? Last year, one of the sets almost doubled. So if you assume that there's going to be three sets, and each set will probably not cost you more than $100. So even then, it'll probably be close. And then guess what? If they start inching above 100, now I'm going to feel bad because I just gave you a ridiculous worst case scenario. That ended up being an understatement. So
bring 500. Just if you
bring
can.
I would bring a minimum of $500 to the dealer room if you're planning on buying all the exclusives and want to buy other stuff. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. If you wanted to be a little more comfortable, I'd say maybe closer to $700 if you're willing to do a whole like, oh, look, here's a big ticket item that I'm willing to drop some cash on, something like that. But if a minimum of $500. And I'd say if you want to pick up a couple of really cool things and still have some spending money, then $700 or $800.
Yeah. Try to get $1,000. $1,000 is a comfortable BotCon, but that's also $1,000. Seth, what about, like, do you think that those are some accurate numbers?
Yeah, and I think it also kind of depends on what you're going to be looking for in the dealer room. Like, if you're coming looking for old G1 stuff, you're going to want a lot more money than if you're looking for... like current kind of import or third party stuff, if third party stuff isn't all stolen away.
Hasn't been confiscated and put in a room.
Yeah, but like even like prices could get dumb. It depends on the dealers who show up, but like
whatever the newest thing is, they're going to be charging way too much for. Like, whatever wave has just come out in concert with BotCon happening, don't buy that stuff. It's going to be way overpriced.
$45 The Fallen, $45 Mixmaster, I remember from BotCon 09.
Yeah, it really, I say you should kind of think about what your hopes and dreams are of stuff to find, and then kind of get an idea of what that stuff goes for and plan around that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, oh, I'm really hoping to find a one of this, like, you can get an idea of like a realistic price range for that kind of plan.
Mm-hmm. And hey, maybe you'll end up not liking some of the souvenir toys, and that'll bolster your other money bracket. Speaking of souvenir toys, question number two is, I have a prom on the Friday of BotCon, so what souvenir sets compared to the past years will be available early midday Saturday? If I'm going to recall correctly, usually the troop builder is the first one to go. Other than that, it's really anybody's game. Usually the troop builder goes, then the relevant sets go, then the irrelevant set with concepts from previous years goes last. Although if they do an animated set this year, then that will probably go pretty fast because everyone loves animated.
Well, and once the set is Shattered Glass, it's already all irrelevant. Dun 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 dun.
Whoa. It's just coming out. So you're mad about that credit card, I can tell.
Yeah, I think last year though, every set was available up until at least early Sunday.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure at the very least, for the people when people were getting in line. But for the store to open on Sunday morning, there was at least some of every set left. So,
well,
I don't know
that there was some of every set left because they made everybody leave the night before.
Yeah, that too.
I still have that wristband in my wallet. I'm not going to lie.
So, I didn't even think of that. That's absolutely true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. A good portion of people actually missed an entire day's worth of buying souvenirs. So, yep. Never mind that.
If you're going to talk about midday Saturday, that's when you start. I think early Saturday it'll all still be there, but midday Saturday is when you start running the risk of sellouts. Really depends on, like, if dealers get to go in and buy an armful of army builders. Like, don't really know until it happens, but try to get there early, basically. That's the best practice. And final question, what is good dealer room etiquette, and what kind of things can I expect to find? I'm not looking for anything in particular, just some pretty cool stuff, but I've never been to a con of this size. I have no idea how to act in the dealer room. Thanks again, guys. Rucky Ducky. About things you can expect to find, really just the newest imports. If they're just over a week old, they'll probably be there. If they're under a week old, the Japanese guys might have brought some. New toys will be there, but don't buy them. And you'll see some old G1 stuff, which will, I think we're still in the movie hype, so it's probably still going to be just a bit more expensive than it should be. You'll probably find lots of really well-priced loose Beast Era stuff. That seems to still be a constant, as well as some cool loose Unicron Era stuff or Unicron Trilogy Era stuff. As for etiquette, keep your clothes on and, you know, don't flip a table over, don't steal. And don't get in fist fights. That's off the top of my head. Seth, what do you think about dealer room etiquette?
Don't be afraid to question prices.
Mm.
You can haggle. Not every dealer is going to be interested in haggling. But don't take it personal if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you could, like, you know, make an offer. Like, if they have two or three things you want, say, hey, I'm looking at these three things. Why don't you cut me a break if I buy all three of these from you? Let's knock $20 off and see what they say.
Yeah.
Maybe they end up with $5 off, but that's better than nothing. Maybe you end up with no bucks off. Maybe they're so insulted that they taser you.
Well,
that's unlikely.
If you say
that's unlikely because it's in Texas, so they'll most likely shoot you.
Yeah, and so, you know, make sure you wear some Kevlar. And also, if you ask, hey, can you give me a deal on these three things? And they go, then don't buy anything from them because they're dicks. Like, just make a statement about that. If that's not cool.
Yeah, flip their table over.
Yeah, flip their table over.
Take off all your clothes.
Put your arm on one end of their table of G1 accessories and keep your arm on the table while you run to the other end and then leave. And you'll be
good. Yeah, but other kind of things, like, don't hover around a table taking up space if you're not really looking at stuff.
Yeah.
Keep some lanes of so people can walk.
Let kids go first. Clog up
the middle of aisles. Yeah. Like, if you're going to stop and talk to people, try to, like, move out of the way so you're not clogging up a crowded alley.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. That's just general etiquette. You know, all the hygiene stuff that everyone makes a big stink over.
Gog, do you have any etiquette tips or
the No, between you and Seth, you covered it pretty good. Like, the only thing that I was going to say is just what Seth said about haggling. Like, feel free to just be like, if you see something up there and it's $100, say, hey, would you do 80?
Yeah. Worst they're going to say is no.
And, you know, but yeah, feel free, because a lot of those prices, especially for older stuff and loose stuff, like, the prices up there are their best case scenario of what they wouldn't want to part with it. But most of the time, they're willing. You're going to find guys that are, that they like, you're going to get as far as, will you do? And they're just shaking their head. Nope. Then just don't even try, because those guys don't want to hear it probably until Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Try again on Sunday. Yeah,
I was just
going to interject. Keep an eye on that table. Like, every time you roam by, like, see if that thing is still there.
Yep.
And then try again later. Maybe they could change their mind. Like, that first BotCon I went to in 07, I went to this dude's table four times trying to get him down on the price of two Super GoBots. And when they, like, announced everyone's got to get out of here in 10 minutes because we are done forever, I went back and I was like, come on, that's two less things you have to pack up and take home. And he's like, oh, fine.
and by the way, I joked about it, but most dealers are not going to be dicks to you. Like, they don't want to start crap with anybody. They're just like, a lot of them I find when they don't want to haggle, they're actually quite apologetic about it. They're just like, sorry, I really can't go lower than that. And just, you know, be polite back to them. It's that whole thing I said about being rational and civil, that kind of applies to real life interactions with people too. Like, that will get you far. Pro tip. Thank you for your question, though, Rucky Ducky. We also have a listener question from Oslag with an exclamation point. He says, hello, everybody. Just finished listening to 181, the first without Mr. Vangelis. I found it was more straight to the point with just Gog and Seth, but lacked the unique comedy of Vangelis that I have grown to enjoy. Anyway, on to the questions. Hey, guys, he called you straight into the point.
Yeah, well, why don't you get to the point?
I'm so proud of you.
Stop being uniquely comedic.
All we need is a few more weeks without you, and I'm sure we will just become brain dead and start dribbling off nonsense in there as well.
We'll no longer
be straight to the point.
Stop being so uniquely comedic is my favorite phrase of this evening. Sorry. During 181, it was mentioned that a BotCon theme could be Diaclone versus Classics. I love the idea. If you could do a set, what characters and molds would you use? 5 to 6 figures, deluxes with 2 Voyagers max. If you guys don't want to go through the trouble of saying an entire set, that's cool. Like, I don't care. But you guys have any ideas about this? Like, what do you like to see in a Diaclone versus Classic set? Whoever wants to go first.
Yeah, listen to 181.
You guys said it all? Well.
that's where he got the idea from. But as he said, it was mentioned that a BotCon theme could be that. But no, like, just take, like, some of the figures that we got here. Like, instead of it being shattered glass tracks, like, just straight up make it Road Rage based on Diaclone tracks. You know, instead of giving us shattered glass Ultra Magnus with the Diaclone based loosely color scheme, just
Crystal Skull.
Give us a powered convoy, you know, that sort of thing. So, but I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's others, but just take all the classics and take their G1 sets or their Diaclone portrayals of the G1 characters that had Diaclone figures, and like I think it would be kind of rad, and because that would be a great opportunity to do fiction. I think we talked about this too, where, because the Diaclone stuff, yeah, there was, from what I understand, a small amount of accompanying fiction for that. Like, a lot of people just think Diaclone was just a toy line, but from what I understand, I haven't, you know, I'm not a big Diaclone guy, so I'm sure that makes me a horrible G1 fan, but there was some degree of fiction with that.
Well, no, it makes you a horrible Diaclone fan.
Well, no, because you're supposed to know it all. You're supposed to know all the roots and everything. But, yeah, I think you just don't want to admit the fact that you're a horrible G1 fan as well.
Well, hey, were you guys fighting like this on 181? Like,
yep.
I have some Diaclone.
Well, good for you. You're still a horrible G1 fan. But
you're a horrible human being.
Well,
hey,
I wear it on my sleeve.
Hey, let's settle down.
Wear it on my sleeve, buddy. I got a patch.
Let's settle down.
Horrible human being made in China.
Keep our sleeves down, you know, around our wrist level. Let's not roll them up. Okay.
But, no, like, to me, like that, because, like I said, like the Diaclone stuff, they could kind of do their own fiction for that. Mm-hmm. And I think that, and that would tie into, like, some of the older stuff and give a little bit of spice to the early days of Transformers and homage, all that stuff. But, and they could kind of still do, like, the Shattered Glass thing where they have older versions of other versions of characters, but create like accompanying fiction for that and give them their own, like, this was another universe, this is, you know, like, alternate universe, and it's Diaclone, and it would kind of make sense because that's kind of what Diaclone was. Alternate versions of those characters, and it to me, something like that would be way more interesting than the whole Shattered Glass thing. But, like, you know, it's Monday morning quarterbacking. It's coulda, shoulda, woulda. It's never gonna happen, but I did think it was a neat idea given all the Diaclone references we got in the set this year.
I agree with you. The main thing I have to add to this is that for the Diaclone side, this is kind of going a little bit outside the Diaclone scope, and a little might be touching a bit on another thing related to G1, but I would love to see for one of the Voyagers take one of those new Avengers like armor suits that Iron Man and Captain America are using, like those big Iron Man-y armor suits that you can put a little Captain America or Iron Man inside, repaint the figure to look like a Microman, and then repaint the armor to look like one of those big, like, magna-jointed Microman robot suits. I think that could be a really cool way to work in some pre-G1 stuff. But...
Well, the only problem with that is then you have to deal with the Marvel licensing on those designs.
Well, maybe they should learn how to deal with the Marvel licensing. I'm assuming. Wow,
they're not MarvelCon, yo.
Not yet. Wait,
I got an idea. I got an incredible idea.
Oh.
But BotCon would never be able to do it because it would require getting into bed with a third party company.
Uh-oh.
But somebody who has no problem going to bed with third parties are Canadians.
Okay, whoa.
So maybe this is an idea that TFCon could do. Check this idea out. You Check team it. Up with a third party company to create a new small posable figures based on Diaclone driver designs. Small posable Diaclone men.
I would not be opposed to that. That would be really cool.
Maybe not as small as the original figures, but, you know, you could do them a little bigger. They could hang out with, like, your classics figures or whatever. And they don't have to be in total scale where they could go inside and be like in the little driver seats, because classics figures don't have driver seats anyway.
That's right. Hey, okay.
A whole bunch. Maybe design them to have swappable parts.
This.
So you could swap heads and legs and torsos and arms and whatnot. Little posable Diaclone men.
This may be outside of what you're talking about, but you remember that G.I. Joe knockoff called The Core?
Sure.
You know how sometimes they had, like, spacemen? Just buy up, like, racks upon racks of those inexpensive The Core spacemen and then paint them up and customize them into Diaclone men.
F that.
Whoa!
Let's start a Kickstarter. We'll make them ourselves. Screw everybody else.
Yeah, you heard that they had that Kickstarter that got, like, $1 trillion? We can do that.
The video game one?
Yeah.
That might be bigger than what we would be capable.
Are you telling me that Tim Schafer is bigger than Diaclone?
I wouldn't say that because I don't want to spark outrage.
Okay.
From the Diaclone fanatics.
Hey, listen, the Diaclast, okay? One of my favorite Diaclone podcasts. It wouldn't take kindly to that.
The Diaclone fundamentalists.
There is only one true way, and that way is Diaclone. Everything else
they put
is
the
just a clone.
Fundamentalist.
We're the Diaclone. The rest of them, they are the monoclone.
You're putting the fun back into fundamentalism.
That's right. Hey, Oslag.
I'm mad.
Oslag also had an off-topic question. I'm going to read this really fast because it's long. Yep, I am asking an off-topic question. Hope that's okay. If not, please answer it anyway. It seems many of you enjoy the Reveltech figures. I have got the chance to hold a Reveltech Optimus and liked it, but thought this style of figure would work better with non-transforming characters, as shows I enjoyed as a kid and still do today was Gargoyles, made by Disney. The toys for this show are fairly outdated, lacking articulation, and even good resemblance to the characters they portrayed. I would love to see these characters from this show brought back as Reveltech figures. Did you watch enjoy this show? Also, do you think the characters from Gargoyles would work as Reveltech? Why not? Also, what are some other shows you guys have enjoyed and think would translate well into a Reveltech figure? Thanks, and I hope you get my answer off-topic questions. I'm as one question, insert loud hanging up click sound here. Did you guys like Gargoyles?
It's pretty good.
I liked it too.
And, you know, Disney has worked with Reveltech very recently. They have that whole line of Pixar characters. I don't know if Gargoyles is relevant enough these days or was ever known enough in Japan for Reveltech to be interested in it. Because really, they're selling to the Japanese market first.
That is true. That is true. I would buy a Goliath Reveltech because he deserves a good toy.
Is that the one that was Keith David?
Yes, he was the guy. He was Keith David, big burly purple gargoyle, and he could wear his wings like a cape when he wasn't using them. Like his wings would literally clasp up like a brooch beneath his neck and would drape over his shoulders like a cloak. Looked badass.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And, hey, give me Demona, too, because that was Miranda Sirtis back when, like, she mattered. And that would be cool, too.
Man, I tweeted something yesterday. It was something that I was saying, like, oh, man, that would be awesome if Reveltech made some of this. But I can't remember what it was now. Something else I would think would be cool if they made was a for the sci-fi line, make Robbie the Robot, that old classic sci-fi robot. And his legs are big round balls, so Reveltech joints.
Yeah.
You could totally hide Reveltech joints in those arms and legs.
In those arms, just get like a foam overlay with Reveltech joints inside. Or a foil overlay or whatever they're made of.
Do you think I'm talking about the robot from Lost in Space?
Yep.
I'm not.
I totally just realized. I don't know why, but I always insert him in place of Robbie the Robot. It's really bad.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
Wow.
Like those idiots on pre-order 66.
That already happened. Is it okay? Was there an episode of Lost in Space that Robbie the Robot showed up in?
Yes.
That's not.
He was an evil robot.
That's not helping me. That is not helping me at all.
No, like I have a soft spot for the Lost in Space robot also.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick one, I'm going with Rob.
They should,
my boy Rob.
They should just do both.
From Forbidden Planet.
Man. And the thing that really gets me is the moment you said, are you thinking of the Lost in Space robot? I knew I was. Like, immediately. Like, as you were saying no, it, I was thinking to myself, wait, do those arms have... Oh, God, I did it.
See, here's Rob. I was doing a search for Robbie the Robot figures. I came across a 12-inch Robbie that also had a figure of the dude that wore the costume.
Yeah.
That fit inside the big 12-inch Robbie the Robot that looked freaking amazing, but it was like $800. And I was like, no, bummer. But look at those legs.
Yeah, those are made of,
no problem.
Those are Gorillapod legs. I should try making a Robbie out of Gliosis. I could make legs like that. Man,
are you saying the tripod people should start making collectible toys?
Yes. I want to see Gorillapod get into the toy industry because they already have really good joint systems built. What is it in our culture? Was it the Lost in Space episode? Is that what has made so many people in our culture think that this is the Lost in Space robot in their minds? Like, how do these robots cross over? Is there like a gotta be some
kind
of
the same era? They're kind of the same era, like having Robbie appear, and then I don't know, because I mean that robot was just the Lost in Space robot was only ever referred to as robot.
Yeah.
I know he has like a technical name like ZWX-322 or whatever, but in the show they just call him robot. But yeah, like so often if you say Robbie the robot, somebody will go danger, danger. It's like, no, that's the wrong one, stupid.
Man.
And there's some, I mean, like Lost in Space robot had like that clear disc for a head that had stuff moving around inside, and Robbie's got a clear bubble with stuff moving around inside. They both have like light up, like they're the flashing like mouth in air quotes.
Yeah.
Had similar lines. Like in this picture, Robbie has these blue lines. The Lost in Space robot had, I think, red lines, but it would flash. There are similarities. Lost in Space robot had tracks, though.
I just feel like this
rolled around. You didn't have legs.
There's some kind of like sociological phenomena that this could be called. Like there could be a scientific term for confusing the two robots, and not just dumbassery. Like some kind of anthropological study.
I wish I could remember what the other thing was that I was saying. Rebel Tech should make these, and then a bunch of people on Twitter went, "Oh, that would be awesome!" But now I can't remember what it was.
Well, while we're what?
Some anime. It must have been some anime I just watched or rewatched.
Oh, God, now I'm starting to remember your tweet. And then my brain just flipped over. Nope. It's not there. Well, while we're trying to remember that, I think, thank you for your question, Oslag! I think this is a good time for an intermission. So let's bang our robot domes together, and then we'll be back with some What We Got This Week with an exciting team revelation. Get ready for it. I sure am.
If memory serves me right, I announced last week that I will be closing my kitchen stadium on September 24th. I also promised you that I'll show you battles that will make culinary history. These battles are to decide the King of Iron Chefs. And today we shall start the first preliminary battle. The matchup will be announced later. There are only 15 days left for myself and my Iron Chefs. I have ordered my Iron Chefs to create dishes that will do justice to their careers here. So now, witness the ultimate battles of the Iron Chefs and burn them into your memory.
Hey everyone, we're back and we've all learned a little bit of something. Seth, you found out what that thing was.
Yeah, I had suggested that they do a Chairman Kaga from the original Japanese Iron Chef.
Yes. I would buy
and then
that.
Somebody, and then I can't remember who replied, but then it was suggested that they also do a Gordon Ramsay. And then it was also just suggested that there would be a Anthony Bourdain. And then I thought this would be amazing of a whole subline of RevelTech figures based on celebrity chefs.
As long as they kind of
around the world.
As long as they break the mold a bit and pick a non-chef but fictional-related character in the form of Mark Dacascos as Kaga's nephew, then I'd be all for this, because I would kind of want a Mark Dacascos.
I believe it was Bedtime.
Hmm?
Username was Bedtime that agreed with you.
Oh, I thought you were telling me it's Bedtime. Okay.
Well, good night, everybody.
It well, kind of is. But
yeah, this is what I think of your nephew suggestion. Go to bed.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, good night, everybody.
Just don't do Guy Fieri and everything's going to be all right. Because that dude is overexposed.
I got, you know, I'm going to just raise my hands. I don't want to get involved in the fight.
And I've eaten at Guy Fieri restaurants and he ain't no chef.
Oh, wow. Guy Fieri, no longer a subscriber to WTF at TFW.
My cousin has hung out with Guy Fieri, and he said, Guy Fieri is cool for about 10 minutes, and then you need to get away from him, because that's all you can take.
Well, we know what we can take. We can take what we got this week, because this is very special what we got this week. We're going to open up with my what I got this week that was on topic. My entire what I got this week, pretty much. I got Cyberverse Soundwave. Aaron sent him over, but Cyberverse Soundwave came to me from Jiggles97, a listener to the podcast. And I'm not the only one who ended up with a Cyberverse Soundwave, because Aaron ended up with one as well. And hey, Seth.
Yeah.
I think you got one too.
Yeah, I got one.
Hey, hey, Gog, I think you got one as well.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, Jiggles97. I just wanted to say thank you one more time, because that was really cool of you. Because it also means we all have a Dark of the Moon Soundwave toy, which means we're actually out ahead of a whole lot of people right now. Cyberverse Soundwave is a pretty neat little Cyberverse toy. The thing that makes him an upper echelon Cyberverse to me is the fact that he doesn't transform as simply as he could have. Namely, that he does a really neat little trick with his legs that gives him, oddly enough, a sort of ankle tilt and a thigh swivel. So he actually has some pretty good posability. Ball-jointed shoulders, ball-jointed hips, a thigh swivel, and an ankle tilt. That's not bad for Cyberverse Legions. And I like his vehicle mode, because it's super compact, and it looks like a little car. And it feels really pleasant in the hands. And hey, guess what? He's not all that painted, but they did get the turquoise on his arm speakers, and they gave him a visor. So, really, like, the only major thing about him that is kind of a justifiable con is, like, I sort of wish he was a lighter hue of silver. He's kind of dark, but that's about it. I actually quite like this little guy, and I'm real happy to have him in my Cyberverse collection. Thank you, Jiggles97. I like this little toy. Hey, Seth, how are you feeling about Cyberverse Soundwave?
No, I think he's cool. I get that. Very small size class. They've come a long, long way. And I really like the car mode. I think it's very solid and compact. It's almost a scale with like Hot Wheels size cars. It's a little bigger, but it's pretty close. And it just fits together really well. Like at a glance, you probably might not know or notice. I mean, a closer inspection, of course, you start seeing the slight gaps in parts. But yes, thank you, Aaron.
Well, thanks, Aaron, for ferrying these to us from Jiggles97.
Oh, you just ferried them?
Yeah, Jiggles97 bought them and sent them all to Aaron. And then Aaron sent them out to distribute to all of us on his behalf. Because Jiggles97 is not in...
I was not made aware of all that detail. I just... had Aaron, like, oh, what's your address? I'm sending these out. And it's like, oh, okay.
No, that was all Jiggles97. I don't have the PM in my inbox anymore. But he lives in an area.
Well, I was going to say Jiggles. Find all the tweets where I thanked Aaron. And just put your name in there.
Well, Jiggles97 lives in an area where Cyberverse Soundwave was in abundance and basically it's not all that expensive, and so he offered to buy one for everyone on the podcast. So I said, hey, if you want to, that's cool. And we decided to send them all to somebody. Aaron said, hey, I'll take them and get them to you guys. So that's how that went down. Gog, how you feeling about Cyberverse Soundwave?
I agree with pretty much everything you guys said. Some of the details, like the little paint apps and stuff for the blue circles, like, I'm kind of surprised they even did that. Especially given the paint apps for the headlights and the windows and the taillights. Like, it's neat. The car mode is awesome. And it might just be because we don't get Mercedes Transformers that often, I'm thinking.
No, I don't think we do.
Like, so, yeah, so that doesn't ever happen. So it's kind of cool just having this little tiny license to Mercedes. Like, that in and of itself is neat. But, yeah, he's pretty small. Like I said, I still kind of wish that the Cyberverse figures themselves cost just a little bit less. Mm. Because I'd be much more into them. But, you know, hey, gift from someone who wanted to give us something that, to me, makes this even more special. So... Like, that's cool.
Yeah, so. And I was really hoping that all three of us would get them on the same podcast so we could just make a nice little party out of it.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised you got yours as quickly as you did, because shipping things to Canada takes way longer than it should.
There's always a risk that it's going to get caught at the border for no reason for a week or so. And
like, every time I send Protoman a package, like, if he gets it before 4 weeks is up, I'm happy.
There must be something just weird in Quebec. Because, I mean, 4 weeks from the States is still kind of crazy to Canada.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there is something weird in Quebec. It's called the French language. Canadian joke. Oh. Well, thank you one more time, Jiggles97, because that was really cool of you. And I'm digging this little guy. Also, I have a Dark of the Moon Soundwave, and he didn't cost, like, the $35 that the deluxe would cost on eBay. That I really don't want to pay. It's not worth it. That's also all the Transformers I got this week. So, Seth, what Transformers did you get this week?
Well, first of all, I got the rest of the first wave of Bot Shots.
Well,
because against all odds, new Transformers appeared at my local Kmart, including Bot Shots. So I got Barricade, Bumblebee, Sentinel Prime. And, you know, we've gushed about Bot Shots a lot. There's not really much to say about them. I mean, they don't do a whole hell of a lot. There's the one thing about Bumblebee I thought was funny. Yeah, Bumblebee's sword power is crazy high. It's 970.
Whoa!
But his fist power, only 110. Don't send Bumblebee out if you're gonna throw fists.
He's not a boxer.
I haven't added it up. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a set amount of number to be divided up amongst your three choices on all these guys. Because like Sentinel Prime, his sword is only 190. And what was his really powerful one? He is a really powerful one. Yes, fist is 980.
His gun is pretty powerful too, though.
Yes, 630. His gun to kill. Yeah, but his gun killed Ironhide in one shot. His gun should have been super high. Spoiler.
Sorry, guys. We still didn't know that. Whoa.
Yeah. If you didn't already know that, you were an awful Transformer fan.
True. Very true.
So, I got all Wave 1 Bot Shots all taken care of. I'm loaded up on the current Bot Shots. But they also had Prid, which really blew my mind, all over the place. So, they had a multitude of Bumblebees. Shock. I know. It's difficult to believe.
Wow.
That Bumblebee wouldn't be completely sold out, but it's true. What else did they have there? They had Cliffjumper, which I got. I didn't get Bumblebee. Passed. Oh. And they had a couple Cliffjumpers. Grab one of those. And then behind all the Bumblebees was one Wheeljack. So I grabbed Wheeljack.
Excellent.
And no Soundwave, which is too bad. But, yeah, Cliffjumper. I could have lived without getting Cliffjumper.
Oh.
He's kind of not great. So, I guess gorilla arms are a thing for Prid. And so, his arms are these super long... like his forearms, like his upper arms and shoulders is pretty compact, but his forearms are super long, and they're just like this big, long, flat stretch of red. And his legs are almost entirely red, except for like his knees are silver, his toes are silver, his chest is mostly red. Like, there's just all these big, flat, just chunks of red. So he doesn't look that great. There's a Ratchet gimmick that makes his head raise and lower while you're transforming him, that then fairly limits his head poseability. It's on a ball joint, but you can't make him look up at all because the back of his head bangs into the mechanism. But you could cock it to the side really far, so he could look like he's going, ooh. So, I mean, that's all that's really disappointing. And then his legs are, like, so rounded. It doesn't really go with how flat and square all the rest of him is. So his legs just look like these little stumpy fat legs. It's just, the Cliff Jumper is really unimpressive, to say the least. Not full on disappointment.
Well, what if he cost nearly $30 and came with a mini con?
I don't know if it's I don't know if that mini con is worth $30. If you want to spend $30 for a mini con, go for it. Don't spend $30 for a Cliff Jumper. Bland. Unless it's first Cliff Jumper, which I don't have, but looks better from what I've seen. Wheeljack, on the other hand, is pretty great. Also, big long arms, but not as awful. I wish his windshield kind of worked better on his arms, but that's kind of a small thing. But just, he's very poseable. Like, I have him in this really dramatic pose right now, standing on my desk, where he's in, his legs are pretty spread out, and he is perfectly balanced, stands really solid, even in this kind of a overly dramatic stance. His swords make him cool. But yeah, like you were saying last week, like with the wings,
yeah,
that are sticking up. I'm still waiting on the Blu-ray release of Prime to see any of this stuff. So he has wings sticking up off his back in the show.
Oh yeah, they're a little bit bigger in the show.
Yeah, like in this case, I was thinking I would have been okay with no kind of wings, and kind of leave that part of the homage out from the original toy. But I'm sure if there was no allusion to that at all, then there'd be a group of people that are like, oh, they didn't do his wings. They could have done his wing things, and that's so much of his character.
Instead, there were a group of people saying, why is he so much like the G1 Wheeljack, except for everything about his personality? And so why is he Drift's mind in G1 Wheeljack? I think that was the overarching argument way back then. So people still got mad.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I'm not worried about that part so much. but yeah, I really like him. I think he came out very well. Lots of good poseability. Colors are nice. No, he's good. He's very good.
Excellent.
Don't get Cliff Jumper.
Did you try,
unless you have to,
like to shorten his arms? Have you tried like untransforming the shoulder pads a little bit so that the tail lights are facing forward?
I don't like how it looks.
Okay,
I'm okay with him having longer arms. Like it's not as bad as it seems on Cliff Jumper, because like his legs are of a similar style as his arms.
Yeah.
Where on Cliff Jumper, his arms are square and flat, and his legs are round and fat. So it doesn't look right. It looks like they put the wrong legs on. At least there's continuity with Wheeljack.
Yeah.
Yeah, just really, just The only little niggling kind of complaint that I have about him is how his windshield is kind of sticking inward on his arms. It's too bad there wasn't something that could be done about it, but they're really kind of in there the way they are.
Yeah.
And then, again, not having seen the show, as far as I knew, that's part of the design, and all the characters are kind of gorilla-armed. So, that wasn't really bothering me.
Yeah, Wheeljack is, I mentioned this before, he is surprisingly on model. Like, right down to crazy little sculpted details here and there. He's really close.
His ear things don't light up when he talks in the show, do they?
No, and in fact, his
I've seen pictures, he has a mouth.
Yeah, his mouth plate retracts when he's not fighting. That also made a lot of people really mad.
It doesn't make me mad, but it would have been cool if it flashed. When his mouth plate's up, it should flash when he talks. He has his mouth covered now, so now his ear things are being used as speakers.
Yeah, it's like an alternate transmission.
That blink when he talks. As good robots like Robbie and Lost in Space Robot do when they talk. Flashing lights.
I will not argue with that point.
Like a good robot. Robot. That, I believe, is all my on-topic stuff.
All right.
I sort of have a pre-order for the AOD exclusives.
The
Targatrons, but I didn't put any money down and I haven't heard from the guy. So I don't know what the hell's going on with that. But maybe at some point I'll have those two exclusive sets. That was a whole scene.
So I heard.
Yeah, they all got stuck in customs, so they couldn't have them at the show.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
And they didn't really do a good job of advertising that you can still get them. You had to ask. So if you didn't know to ask, then you would never have known about them.
That's
which
weird.
Makes me think that there could be a bunch left over in the end.
Oh, probably. Because
there were supposed to be 500 of each.
Yeah.
And considering the situation, I would be surprised if they found 500 people at all. Especially considering how small that convention seems to be.
Yeah.
So these might pop up somewhere anyway for sale.
I'm going to keep my eye out.
We'll see.
I kind of like the look of the repaints. They look kind of neat.
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting to see if this does pan out, and then I'll have to track down the Starscream one, because I'll have Thundercracker and Skywarp. But time will tell.
Until then, let's move along to Gog Dog for some more on-topic what we got this week.
Oh man, I got a lot of on-topic stuff.
So I understand.
Let's just go down the list then. First of all, I got my Transformers Collectors Club exclusive purchase deluxe runabout. I'm not going to call him Overrun. I will state it so people know what I'm talking about for those who don't know who Runabout is. But he's freaking Runabout. That's what he was supposed to be called. Whatever. First thing about Runabout. Was a little surprised at first that he wasn't actually black. He's more of like a charcoal color.
Mm-hmm.
He's an off black, if you will. So I'm really hoping that Run Amok doesn't turn out to be an off white. That being said, aside from that initial surprise, I don't mind the color at all. Like, it's not like Revenge of the Fallen Lockdown.
Yeah.
He's like that dude turned out to be straight up brown, and it was like almost uncomfortable. But Runabout is much darker than that. He's not totally black, and I think I probably would have preferred the black. But it's not anything that really affects my enjoyment. The red, on the other hand, is all nice, bright, deep red. So, One thing I really like about him is the Decepticon tampographs on his hood, which end up on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Very crisp, very clear. It's got the nice purple outlined in silver, and the tampograph is just really top notch. It's nice, huge, big purple Decepticon logo, and it's something that we don't see often enough anymore, I don't think, especially with the outline. Like, you just, nowadays, it just seems like we get more and more of just the, let's just do a silver stamp of the faction logo and that's it.
Yeah.
So I really like that. It was a nice little touch. Other than that, he's definitely the Wheeljack mold. That head mold turned out really well. I've never transformed him like Wheeljack. I've used the general techno method of doing the fan backpack, and that's the only way I ever intend on transforming him. I haven't seen Techno's video in a long time, so I don't remember, but I keep seeing a bunch of people complaining about his wings being unfolded on the back. You only have to slightly unfold the wings to tuck them back, and then you can fold the wingtips right back in. So the doors just fold at 45 degree angles onto his back, and it's nice and clean. So I don't know if people just haven't realized that, or if they're doing it a little bit different than I am, but if you just slightly flip out those wingtips a little bit, it gives it enough clearance to move him into this opposing 45 degree angles on his back, and then you can fold him back in, and it's nice and clean. But I love the fan mode. Like, that's some runabout ass looking runabout right there. I don't know. He looks great. I think he turned out well. And despite all the drama around this figure, which, you know, we're learning didn't even necessarily involve him at all. It was way much more widespread. He turned out really well. And,
that's a good,
you know, I'm glad that I got him. He's good. And I'm, you know, whether I, you know, what, no matter what decision I would have made had I not been a member at this time now, I was, because I renewed back in, I don't remember, December, early January. So either way, I got my run amok coming. So I look forward to them. I think they're going to look great together.
I was going to say that, like, I think that's one of the best compliments you can give the toy. Like, aside from the fact that, it, as far as everyone I've talked to has said, it turned out great. It's only a testament that it turned out so great that even though there is not a lot of goodwill in the FunPub customer to company relationship at this time for a lot of folks, that toy is not suffering because of it. Like, that toy is shining despite the fact that probably it's under way heavier scrutiny because it's made by a company a lot of people are kind of peeved with at the moment.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I was saying as well as, like, and yeah, I know this isn't the freebie figure, but I mean, I am going to get the freebie figure, and I'm just going to say that I'm really glad after all this that the freebie figure is run amok, because if we would have had to dealt with this, and then after all said and done, the freebie figure that I got, which contributed to part of this mess, was, say, Sideburn, I just would have been a bitter son of a bitch. So, at the very least, like I said, after all is said and done, at least through all this mess, the two figures that were involved in that this year were two very good figures, in my opinion. So,
yeah,
and I'm absolutely glad that I got him, and but he's cool. I like him a lot.
I hope the next freebie is just as good, because that will be one of the many things that would start regaining the faith of some folks, I think.
Did you order him?
I friggin' dodged a bullet. I was about to order him and then complain about the stupid shipping, and then Techno said, "Hey, you want in on a group order?" So it's like, sure.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember now. So when do you guys get your group order? You know yet?
Techno's group order involved T-shirts, so
that was the last wave to go out then.
Yeah, so I don't know. Techno's gonna actually be visiting town in early April, so ideally it'll ship to him before then, so he can just bring them here.
Ugh. Okay.
Did you notice the drama involving my group order?
No.
So Jared got the figures, and they blew it. They didn't send enough overruns, and they sent an extra drift.
Oh, good.
And I guess that there was an issue with drift guns. Yes. Like, there's a bunch of screwed up guns.
Well, what I've heard about the drift guns is that there was no one making sure that you were getting a left and right gun. So it's because the guns, like the small guns, are not part of the main mold that the toy is being based on. They were extra bits, I think. Like, some of us figured they probably came in a separate envelope or a separate box, and whoever was assembling the toys wasn't aware that there was a difference between the two guns. So for now, the only solution is, if you get two of the same gun, make a lot of friends, and then go on Twitter and say, hey, I have two left guns, who has two right guns? I've seen people I know doing that successfully, but that's not an option for everyone, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, right now Jared has a lot of drifts, so he might be able to sort a few of them out, but
oh,
he's short on overruns.
That's no good.
Because they send an extra drift and one less overrun. So I'm not really sure what my state of things are. I haven't really pressed. I wasn't going to jump on the situation, but like, I better get mine. Especially once I kind of came in late on the deal.
Or I will beat you up, Jared.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But I remember in 07, that was the problem with Thundercracker in that box set, was getting, getting the wrong guns.
Or,
and I got so lucky that the dude standing in front of me in the souvenir line, mm-hmm. like, we both kind of, like, word kind of came down the line, you should check your Thundercrackers, they got the gun screwed up. And he opened his box, and, like, he had two right guns, and I opened mine, and I had two left guns, and then we fixed it right then and there amongst ourselves and didn't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
And then all the rest of the night, people were coming down the line going, does anybody have two lefts? Anybody have two lefts? I have two rights.
That actually happened back in one of the OTFCCs with the, I think it was the Sunstreakers, the hotel exclusive. Sunstreaker had, like, a lot of people got doubled up arm launchers from the Rid Prowl mold. And there was a big exchange for that as well that I actually never heard about when I was at the convention. So mine ended up with mismatched launchers. And then the toy became dirt cheap, so it was real easy to fix. Wow, what kind of tangent did we just get on there? That was weird. Hey, Gog, what else did you get? Let's get back to this.
I got Takara First Edition Bulkhead.
What the hell, man? The packaging is crazy.
I know, yeah. I heard you guys talking about that on what was it, 188?
Yeah.
And I had mentioned to bring that up with my Viacon when I talked about him in 187. But yeah, it's blowing my mind, and I'm curious to know, like, what some of these other Takara Japanese version first edition figures, like, what their packaging says, because I was a little amused when I saw the Canadian Viacon, you know, packaging, because it's like, oh well, you know. This definitely looks like the Viacon was at one point meant to be released in Canada. And then I'm just kind of, I had already transformed my bulkhead a bit. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And I look and I see, like, the Takara stickers over it. And I'm like, okay. So then I look at the bottom and it's like, yeah, for any questions or comments, please contact Hasbro Australia.
Poor,
like,
poor Q Dog.
Wait, what? Huh?
Poor Q Dog. I remember that.
I know. And we were talking to him about it on Twitter, and it turns, I mean, because they didn't get any first edition releases at all.
Nope.
So it's even, that's even more strange. But yeah, you know, I would really like to know the history behind, like, how, where Takara, like,
I was like, maybe Takara did the toys and the inner bubbles, because the deluxes I've gotten, basically the Viacons, had metal twist ties. And all the deluxes had unique bubbles for Japan because they were in robot mode. But then you blew my mind when you said, oh yeah, and Bulkhead didn't have, he had the eco twist ties. He had the new ones. And I was like, what? I was like, well, then where did the Bulkheads come from? Because Bulkhead and Prime in Japan's first edition had very unique paint jobs. So they couldn't have been from anyone else's stock. So what's going on? Like,
I don't know. It's crazy, but
that made me flip out in a real niche geeky way that made no sense to anyone else on my Twitter feed. But
I could see somebody asking them that at the BotCon panel, and all the Hasbro people looking at each other like, What? What the hell? We don't know.
The one Takara Tomy guy who came for BalkCon 2012 just quietly leaving the room.
Yeah. But, yeah, on to Bulkhead himself. Bulkhead is, oh, he is absolutely fantastic. Like, for all my ranting and raving about first edition Voyager Prime last week, like, in so many ways does Bulkhead succeed Prime.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the only, like, really about my only complaint, or not complaint, but nitpick with Bulkhead would be that, like, his windows that come around and fold is on his chest, like, they're a little too dark, so that you, because they're lined up so that you can, because in Bulkhead's animation model, like, his windows, it looks like they actually roll down. And then his headlights kind of form his nipples, or whatever you want to call them, on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right where the windows are. But obviously the windows aren't going to magically disappear from the toy or roll down or anything. So the windows go over him, so you should be able to see him through. It's just the windows are slightly too dark. So it's like, oh man, if those windows were just crystal clear, like it would have... Because it's just such a defining feature of his robot mode. But it's such a small nitpick, and they still did it. It's just, it's kind of hard to see. But it's still there. It works. But I was just a little amused by Bulkhead because he comes packaged in robot mode, but it's like to fit him in the package because he's such a wide dude, like he's crazy mistransformed. So I'm looking at him in his robot mode, and I end up putting him in his vehicle mode. And then when I transformed him back, I'm like, oh wow, there's a bunch of tabs here that weren't being used when I saw this guy the first time. So it was kind of fun. But no, he's great. I'm so glad that I got the opportunity to pick him up, even at BBTS prices, because like I said, once people got a good look at that RID version, they started scooping up the FE bulkheads like crazy.
Yeah.
So I was super lucky that I got a pre-order in just a couple days before all that stuff hit.
And I swear I had never saw him again after the one time I saw him.
Yeah, because he was not only is he such a great figure, and it's not like we haven't talked about this before, but
one per case,
short packed,
yeah,
short packed like crazy. So I don't know, but he is great. If you see an opportunity to get a first edition Bulkhead, any version, and I would have preferred to have the American version just because it seems a little more accurate to the animation, but and this is something that my friend Counterpunch pointed out to me too, like. Bulkhead, the Takara version of Bulkhead, while not as accurate to the show, has this awesome, shiny, just gloss, green finish to him. But the amazing part is none of that is paint. It's all in the plastic.
Oh,
so when you're transforming him, especially when like you have to kind of mush his arms together to fold in those pressure panels.
Yeah.
Like, there's no chance of there being any paint rub because it's all amazing plastic. Like, that dark green... Like if you've never seen one in person, I'd almost be tempted to bring it to BalkCon just so you can.
I thought that was paint.
No, it's not paint at all. It's all plastic, and it's amazing. It's like this high glass marbleized plastic.
I was gonna try to get one of those just because I love the mold. Like later on, because I didn't think he would be so rare. Now, I have a first ed one, but I'm. Still kind of envious. Like, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, it like I said, it's not as accurate, but it is so beautiful to behold in person that it's kind of worth it anyway. So I don't mind. I think, like I said, my main point is if you can find any reason to grab this mold, like, and it's affordable and it's not some crazy scalper aftermarket price.
Don't drop 70. Do not drop 70.
You should jump on it.
If you see it for 50. I think it's worth 50 at this point.
BBTS price was 60, and I felt like it was worth it.
Oh, okay, so. Yeah. I mean, 60 too. I always hear from people that it's 70, and
yeah,
I mean, he's a good toy, but 70 would I think color the experience myself.
Yeah, but, I have a feeling he's 70 in the near future is going to be affordable.
Yeah, I guess.
So, but you know, whatever. But it is a good figure. So if you're on the fence about it. If money is not really an issue, if you think you're going to get enjoyment out of it, then I'd say go for it. Whatever your range is to feel comfortable. But yeah, he's awesome. I'm so glad that I got him. I got some bot shots too. I bought the whole first wave.
Whoa.
found them all. Apparently, and I get the there was some of the figures. There was only like one of each, so that means that people had been there and bought some, and for some reason there was still a Chase figure there. So I was able to get him too in the first go, Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I've seen Sentinel around. Like they had multiples at this Kmart, and when I initially got them at a Toys R Us, there was three or four Sentinels.
Yeah, I don't think they're super rare. It's because, you know, like a Chase figure, especially with blind packed figures, like sometimes there'll be like 12, 20 figures in there, and sometimes there might be a Chase in the box. Like that's pretty rare. But it's looking like for every case of bot shots, there's at least a Sentinel or two per box of 10 or whatever the breakdown is. So as long as you catch a store putting some stock out, you're guaranteed to find one or more. So I don't think that he's super, super rare. He's just slight, but he's no harder to find than Prime Soundwave. He's probably easier to find. So Prime Soundwave isn't a Chase, but he's short packed to hell. And so he's, you know, people aren't finding him if they're not getting to the store like the day they put out a new case of figures. So you might as well call Prime Soundwave a Chase figure. But yeah, I'm really digging him. You know, we've talked to death about him so far, but it's cool actually getting it in hand. But yeah, they are oddly satisfying. One thing, I guess one thing I do have to add, because I was kind of like, because they first really started popping up in the U.S. at Toys R Us, and I was like, $5 a piece? That's not bad. That's affordable. And then I found them at Walmart and Target, and they're like under $4 each there.
That blows my mind.
That makes it even like more surprisingly awesome that you can literally pick up bot shots for like $3.90 a piece.
Because over here, the only ones we've seen are at Zellers, and Zellers wants, I think, $6 for each one, which is okay.
Yeah.
But makes me jealous of your Targets, because that's like, that is impulse buy crack right there.
Yeah. But I have seen Prime, Prid, and Bot Shots at both Targets and Walmarts and Mass now. So that makes me very happy. In fact, like they started leaking out slowly at Targets, and then all of a sudden every Walmart in my state just went, boom, how about some Prime and some Bot Shots?
Yes, so please. That was really cool.
Yeah, so, yeah, but as of right now, my area is pretty well saturated. Like, there are bot shots everywhere, so I'm really looking forward to seeing the second wave pick up. But I have a feeling I'm probably going to buy just about every one of these I've seen. The only thing I haven't seen yet are the launchers. Well, I haven't seen the three packs either. But the Target that I was at today had empty pegs for the launcher, so I don't know if somebody bought them already. I don't think they did, because there was like there was at least a couple cases worth of the single carded ones. But yeah. they had spaces for the launchers that were empty, so I just don't think they've put them out yet. But I don't know if I'm going to really do the launcher thing. I mean, I may get one occasionally if I think it's neat, but I think I'm probably going to buy all of the single carded ones though, because I'm digging them. I got Prid Soundwave. Got a hookup from TFW member Oro Druin, known as Deathformer on Twitter. He was very nice to send me one. And I got a couple days enjoyment out of that before I started finding them all sorts of places locally. I have found three Soundwaves. Every single Soundwave I have bought and have sent to someone at cost, because I was very happy that someone was able to do that for me, and I felt like sharing that. So,
mm-hmm. You bully.
Dun 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 dun. Bum bum bum.
Yeah, I'm horrible. Yeah. Spoiler. Hopefully, somebody in the next couple weeks will on this show will be receiving one of those sound waves. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so I like Soundwave a lot. You could nitpick his posability, but given the character, like, it's hard to do because he doesn't do anything but stand there and look at monitors anyway.
What poses has he done in the show that he cannot do on the toy yet? my question.
Exactly. And the thing is, like, his most posable part are his arms, surprisingly, which are made out of those giant wing parts. But his arms, I like his arms. I think they turned out pretty well. But, like, his, just his silhouette, like, you get it in hand, it's like, yeah, that's Soundwave. So I dig him for everything that he is. I kind of wish that they had done the kibble on his legs, maybe just a tad better, but I don't know how else they could have done it, to really be honest. But I don't know. I like Soundwave. He's fun, and he's especially more fun when you just have him standing next to, like, the other Prime Decepticons that we've gotten so far, like first edition Starscream. Mm. Like, he's fun. He's fun just to sit there, and you can imagine them just trying to out creepy the other one. But I like him. I kind of wish that his head wasn't on the spring loaded gimmick. Like, I would have much rather just flip it up and had a secure ball joint, because I do think that it kind of makes his head a little locked in place, as far as, like, you can move it a little bit side to side, but you start trying to give him, like, any up down motion or whatever, and it kind of, the spring pushes back a little bit. So that's probably my main nitpick. The thing that I really, really like about him, though, is the way Laserbeak is integrated. Like it's just on the show. Like, if you don't know that that's a drone bird thingy on his chest, like, it just looks like part of him. It's done so well, and it matches the show fairly well, too. So I'm really impressed with how they did that. And I've been thinking for months, and it hit me even more when I got the toy in hand, but, like, I kind of wish that the Laserbeak had some sort of gun or weapon mode, because that would 100% make Prime Soundwave a Breastmaster.
Yes.
Because that is exactly what the Breastmasters are. They're little animals that plug into the chest and form a little armor bit on their chest. They can come off and have an animal mode, but then they have a third weapon mode. And that's all sound. I mean, hell, you could probably even fan mode it, like, try to stick his wings together into, like, some sort of knife or sharp object or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, yeah. So, but, like, yeah. Like, Soundwave is the closest we've come ever since the Victory toys were released, I think, that we've gotten, like, a Breastmaster. So it's almost like a double homage to Laserbeak being the cassette in the chest and, like, straight up the Lyo Kaiser toys. But no, Soundwave's great, and I think it's a shame that he's as short packed as he is, because, you know, like, I keep hearing how disappointed people are in the Prime Bumblebees and Clip Jumpers. It's a shame that you couldn't have taken one of those out and put an extra Soundwave in there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, whatever. But I'm glad that I got it. Thank you very much, Deathformer. I really, really appreciate it. I got Powerizer Megatron, because it's the only Voyager Megatron we're going to get for a while.
Yeah, and he's apparently, he transforms a whole lot like the Deluxe one, which had a cool transformation, so hooray upsizing.
I'll be knowing that soon, because somebody sent me one.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah, so, yep. Silvershot on Twitter.
Oh, that buddy. Dude's a bro. I met him at BotCon.
We've met him at every BotCon.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, he's been to every one, I believe, since 2009, when I met him.
I distinctly remember having a fun conversation with him last BotCon. Like, yeah, after the aftermath lineup, the morning after the wristbands.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was a bro.
He's a very, he's a extremely friendly guy. Like, you have conversations with him, and he glows the entire time. Like, regardless of what you're talking about. It's like, this is an awesome dude. But anyway, Powerizer Megatron, I think, and this isn't going to come to any news to anybody, but Megatron's worst enemy is his lack of paint.
Yeah.
I actually like the texture. I think it does a good job of portraying, like, his brushed metal look that he has in the show. It's just, he doesn't really look like metal when he's made out of tan plastic. And I'll give the figure one thing. There was a couple of angles where I held him in natural outside light where I'm like, oh wow, he actually kind of looks good here. But it was so specific and didn't last for more than like a minute. Like, it just, the majority of the time when you're looking at him, it's like, wow, like, is this was actually released by Hasbro? Because it almost kind of looks like a knockoff.
It looks cheap.
Do you think that texture would come through if he had a coat of silver paint put onto him?
Yeah.
Because I think so. I think whenever I do get one, I might just do that with the silver paint I used on the TFCon Stronghold toy I painted up. Because if I can just...
That dude was made to be painted silver. Okay. It just... Somebody made the decision to save on money by not doing it, and I think that was an atrocity.
All right. So... Because if you think that texture will not be drowned by a coat of paint, then
I've never painted a figure in my life aside from, like, some detailing on, like, some of the models I've done over the last year. Like, so I'm not the person to ask.
Okay.
But I would... But if I was to try it, I would probably want to do a light airbrush with a silver paint.
That's a good point.
I wouldn't want to apply a thick coat of anything on there because it probably would get lost.
Yeah.
But if you were to, like, take it apart into the pieces and just give it a quick once-over with, you know, with an airbrush, just give it that light kind of enough to get the paint on there, but... I mean, like I said, I don't know. I'm not the expert. I'm not the Radicon.
Scratching my chin.
Radicons, if you have attempted this, please enlighten us. Or if you have the figure in hand, even if you haven't done it, and you have some freaking clue above and beyond what I am, which doesn't take a lot, then please feel free to come in and bring something to the conversation other than speculation from a dude who's never done it in his life. But that would be what I would try, because that texture is pretty fine. So I think a very very light coat of paint in that applied in that manner would probably look really awesome with that texture. And the textures go in different directions too, and that's what I like. Different panels look like it's brushed in different ways.
I really want to see that in person because it's everyone who's described it to me has made it sound like it needs to be just seen in natural light. In your own hands where you can tilt it and move it.
It does. It's a shame that he's the color that he is. Yeah. Like, it's not... He doesn't... It just does not do him justice at all. So, I don't know. It's like, it's not even like Dark of the Moon Sideswipe where at least he's silver-ish.
Yeah.
Like, Megatron is just like tan. So, I don't know. It's a shame. And I just wish somebody had made a different decision. Even if they had decided they weren't going to paint him, just with the color of the plastic. Like, come on. But, I don't know. Whatever. Got that. I got two Cyberverse figures from Prime as well.
Oh, yeah.
For one thing that I always complain about the smaller figures, especially for the movie figures, is just the way some of that movie detailing is lost at this scale. And I even feel that way a bit about, like, Soundwave. Like, if you look at his head, like, it's, you know, just, you just know that there's something missing there that cannot be replicated at that size. This is the first time that we've gotten these Cyberverse Legions for a series other than the movie. And I have to say, as far as the aesthetic goes, like, it completely reinforces all those opinions that I've had. Because the face dealing detailing on the two that I got, which are RC and the Viacon, are it's kind of mind blowing what they did at this scale. Like RC's head is like smaller than a green pea, like it's just tiny. It's like a bead. It's like a little bit bigger than a BB or something. But when you look at her face, like it's super well done. Like she has tiny little detailed pupils and stuff in there, like different rings in her eyes. And yeah, they can't get so crazy to where they do like the purple rings painted.
Yeah.
But they're sculpted. And like they're so tiny, I almost need like a magnifying glass to look at it all. And her eyes are just painted like this vibrant shade of blue that contrasts from the rest of her blue body. And it's like, I finally think that the Cyberverse stuff is actually hitting an aesthetic that it's meant to, unlike it tried to do in the movie, and I don't think it succeeded all that often.
Well, the movie designs just, like, they tried valiantly. Like, just look at Cyberverse Soundwave's head sculpt. Like, they tried to do what they could, and I think that the movie was a great way to kind of testbed this so that when Prime came around, a much sleeker, streamlined aesthetic, they already did this once, they got the engineering down, and now they'd also have a much kinder series of character models to work with.
Yep, but and I think that's really working out for the guys that are making these. Like same thing with the Viacom. Like it's just kind of like his, you know, simple Cylon-esque face, like at this smaller size scale, just works perfectly. Mm. But RC, like the wings on her back are kind of large and ridiculous, even more so than the Prid Revealer version. It's not a deal breaker by any means, but it's just funny. It's like with every version of RC that we get, the wings get larger and larger. like we were, I think we had complained a little bit about the way the wings were implemented in the first edition, and it's almost kind of like, oh man,
no, the Prid one. It's like, hey, guess what? All right.
Yeah. This one is even like exponentially worse. Outside of that, she's really cool. Her transformation is neat, and it's like, I'm still like pleasantly surprised how they keep pulling out different ways to make motorcycle formers transform. Mm-hmm. Like she has her wheel heels, but her wheels, like it's not like a wheel split like the Deluxe does. It's, you know, one is the front wheel and one's the back wheel, but like her legs are slightly asymmetrical so that like one wheel flips up and then becomes the back wheel. And then like the other wheel folds down and becomes the front wheel.
Oh, cool.
And the legs bend in opposite directions, but then click into each other. But because the wheels flip in opposite directions, they're now facing apart. And that forms the underside of the motorcycle. And it's really clever. And I don't know if any other, I mean, I don't have every motorcycle transformer that's ever been made, but I don't have any figures that do it like that.
I cannot think of any that have had a front and rear wheel turn into the leg wheels in that way. Like, Animated Prowl had a way of doing it, but it doesn't sound like the same way.
Oh, no, because with Prowl's leg, it's like one knee would bend and go front, and the other knee would bend and go backwards.
Yeah.
In this one, the legs split apart and then click together, but because one wheel folds up and one wheel folds down, then when you flatten the two click-together legs to the bottom of the bike, like, it forms the bottom half of the bike, but the wheels flipped in opposite directions. So the two wheels click together to form the whole underside of the motorcycle.
Oh, cool.
But because the legs are asymmetrical with the way the tires fold out. So it's neat, especially at this class. Like they were pretty innovative for what they had to work with, but she's neat. So, and like I want to get the Cliff Jumper because everybody keeps telling me how awesome it is, but so, but the Viacon he's cool. I don't think he's maybe as innovative as RC, but again, little bits that they did at this size scale that they didn't have to do. Like, his whole torso splits apart and his head completely folds in under, like, the windshield of the car and then clicks back together. So in car mode, like, his head is totally, like, flipped up. When they could have just done something simple, like, make the head flat so that when you just set it down, it just rolls without the head scraping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could have easily implemented that, but instead, to make the head a little more unique, the whole body flips open just so you can flip the head away. So he's cool, but you know, whatever. He's a Viacon. I love him. I'm going to buy any version of the Viacons that they make probably. So, and the car, guess what? I now have like this little matchbox car of a freaking Viacon.
It's
awesome.
The vehicle mode alone.
He's worth it just for that. Yeah.
Any Viacon toy that comes out, even if it sucks, if it gets the vehicle mode right, I'm probably going to end up getting at least one because that is a really cool vehicle mode.
Yep, but I like it, and I would have bought it just for that, even if it wasn't as good. And so, yeah, he's not bad, but yeah, he's a Viacon, so I don't see anybody really passing him up for that. Hell, I mean, people are probably going to buy multiples just so they can.
I will
have a I'll probably buy a couple more of these guys just so I can have a tiny little Viacon.
I bought multiples of the Japanese first edition. If I don't buy multiples of the Cyberverse, there's something
you bring
wrong
it up.
With me.
Yeah, you bring it up every half hour.
Yeah, I know. I just got to say it. You know, that's my penance.
I even made Seth break his silence on that. So, but that's it for on topic.
All right. Well, let's go into what we got this off topic week to close up the show. I just want to open up by saying, number one, I didn't really get anything off topic this week, but I did do something this evening about an hour before we recorded. And I'm going to have an off-topic what we got this week, sometime hopefully in late August. I know I'm not the only one out there on the internet who did this. Late August is going to be a very interesting month. I'm going to say right now that I am going to probably do a stream party when this thing arrives. because it's going to be a part. It's going to be a party time opening this thing up, and I'm also going to want to record how I open it up because I'm probably going to want to be able to put it back in the box until I can like find a place to put it. So
I think I know what you're talking about because I think I might have ordered one too.
I had a feeling. Today was a day a lot of people were looking forward to. And today was a day that a lot of people kind of ended up being a lot less rich than they might have been before. Mm-hmm. I will say that my 3A Associates membership has now paid for itself at this point.
Yeah, like, I will say that a friend of mine's 3A Associates membership has paid for itself twice.
Very much so. Hey, between this and the Bad Bot box set I got the other month, that's already, it's, hey. I was a little skeptical, but hey, it turned out okay. So, bum, 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 bum. Moving on. Seth, Buzzard, what did you do this week that was off topic?
I did not get a Metal Gear Rex.
I don't know what that is.
They're way too expensive.
It's not.
Way but too it, big. I got nowhere to put that.
Okay, the price for that
now? It's too big.
Like
the
now?
Price for that includes, it includes international it. Shipping.
It's like a pack of
EMS shipping on something that's going to weigh like 50 on something pounds.
That's going to be yes, exactly. Yes.
The shipping,
just that alone,
the shipping
is probably
like $80 at least.
Exactly
on that thing.
It's not bad.
And how are we having this? We're going to have this conversation all over again in August. So let's just
yep.
Let's move it to August.
I like how the biggest
and easily you two collapsed.
I like how the roles are reversed. It's like Seth, the 3A apologist, is like attacking me for purchasing a 3A product and saying it's too expensive and not worth it.
In 2012,
when I'm the guy who has been hating on 3A for like 8 months straight, and I just dropped over $400 on a pre-order from the company that he holds in such high regard, and he's calling me out on being a sucker.
I love it.
This, yeah, it's great.
Nothing will ever be the same.
I don't hold them in that high regard. Anyway, off topic. So, the day after the last time we recorded, I went to San Francisco for the mm-hmm. AOD convention. Because those dinguses that make the Hercules robot were supposed to be unveiling their next product. And we're going to have these exclusives. So I was getting PMs from TFW news staff like, hey, are you going to go to this? Take pictures. I'm like, okay. And I did get to meet some Twitter peeps. Haley, Horatio Likes Toys on Twitter and YouTube and Frank Knight from Twitter and Revision 3, met up with both of them there, hung out for a few hours, walked around. I guess they've gone to the last couple of these conventions. This is my first one. I got there before either of them, and I got into the dealer room, and I was like, wow, this dealer room is tiny. And then when Frank showed up, he goes, wow, this dealer room's like half the size as it was last year. Yeah, it took no time at all to do a complete lap around that place. And man, was that an on topic ass convention dealer room. there was like nothing that wasn't anime in there. And what kind of sucked was it seemed like it was all One Piece. There was so much One Piece stuff. It was stupid how much One Piece was represented. So much crappy One Piece stuff. Ugh. So what's the name of the guy from Tiger and Bunny that is Wild Tiger?
Kotetsu.
What's that dude's name? I saw two Kotetsu cosplayers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling Frank Knight, because we're looking at a Figuarts Bunny. And I'm like, oh man, like, so my understanding is if you could find the Wild Tiger, like it doesn't matter how much it costs, you should just buy it just because everybody wants Wild Tiger and you should never not buy it. And then I turn around and there's a dude dressed like that. I went, oh, damn, speaking of Wild Tiger. And he's like, hey, man, how's it going? And, like, shook my hand. Like, and then, like, I had to pause for a second. Like, wait, do I actually know this guy?
Yeah.
He seems so, like,
yes, I'm Wild Tiger.
Hey, man, what's going on? Like, hey. And I was like, wait, do I know? No, I don't recognize this guy. No, this is just some guy. Okay. Here, have some disease. Because I was still getting over that sickness that I had last time. So I'm like, here, I coughed into this hand. Let's shake. That dude's probably been racked up all week with the sickness. But anyway, so whilst there, I picked up a couple things. I got this blind packed Mega Man figure that turned out to be Bass. I did a video about opening the box on Bass. YouTube. The hotel that this was going down in is connected to a mall in San Francisco called Japan Center, which almost all the businesses are related to Japan in some way. Like there's a couple toy stores, there's a couple video stores, loads of restaurants, a bookstore that has all Japanese books. And then like, there's like a Korean restaurant that snuck in there somehow. But at the bookstore, they always have a bunch of blind box stuff there. And like, if you've seen in pictures I've taken, the cheese cart that I've used, like in my signature picture at TFW, that's where I got that. So I went back there and I was checking out what was available, and I got a couple more blind packed food things. And I shot video for them, and I allude to in that Mega Man video about how my next video is going to be opening more blind pack stuff. That would make 4 blind pack videos in a row. And I wasn't really thrilled with what I got in these food packs. So I might not bother finishing the video because it's just sort of me going like, oh, what a bummer.
Oh,
I got everything I didn't want. Because like when I'm showing the box, I'm like, oh, I hope I get this or this or this. I really hope I don't get either of these. And that's what I got. That was the 2 that I didn't.
That makes the video kind of more fun for the viewer, though, because then there's like, oh.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe I'll finish it. Maybe I won't. We'll see. So, yeah, it was like, whatever. Then also I got those like really kind of elaborate looking mechanical. You can position them in different ways. Gundam stands.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I got the clear one of those, and it comes all in parts, and you got to like break them off the sprues and trim the flash and all that good stuff and build it. And it was a lot more involved than I thought it was going to be. But I don't have any Gundam to use with it, but I figured, you know, this would be something I can co-op for other uses. And like, I've already used it in a picture I took of animated Swindle with my 4 RID redone Swindles. So I was able to pose Swindle like he was doing the Haters Gonna Hate strut for my Swindle's Gonna Swindle picture. And that little stand came in handy because I was able to position that arm out in a way to support animated Swindle to stand in the pose I wanted. So, and you could see it in the picture, like it's not invisible, it didn't disappear, I didn't try to Photoshop it out, but it was a handy little doodad. And then I also got the Reveltech Sci-Fi Queen Alien.
How is that?
Which I had been sort of thinking about getting for a very long time, and a dealer had it there for a reasonable price. So I said, hey,
woo,
hit me up with that queen. And that was all that I got there. Talked to Neil Kaplan briefly. Interesting guy.
Did he say Blaze Blaster?
No.
Oh.
But Haley had that little statue-y thing with the computer girl in the bath from RID and Prime creepy
peeping over the rocks at her.
Yeah.
And had, she wasn't going to be there until a little later, but had given it to Frank to get autographed. And apparently Neil Kaplan had never seen this thing before.
That's impossible. He was at, no, he's got to have seen that thing before.
Well, if he had, he had forgotten about it.
Oh, man.
Because as Frank is handing it to him, he's like, oh, man, this is weird. Is this a handmade thing? Like, is did your friend make this herself? And he goes, no, this was a thing that was sold. He's like, it's really kind of creepy. And then I asked him if I could take a picture of him being creeped out. And he's like, yeah, totally. And like, he held it up and was like looking out at it out the corner of his eye. Like, ugh. So that was a cool picture. And then he got really excited when I identified that I was from TFW.
Oh,
he goes, oh yeah, TFW. I've done stuff with them in the past. Like, TFW is great. Like, what's up? And so who knows? Maybe
he has a board account.
We'll do something with him in the future. Huh?
He has a board account on TFW, if I remember correctly. He used to post very regularly.
I've made contact with him via Twitter. So who knows? Maybe something will come of it in the future. No promises. But yeah, he was an interesting dude from our brief little encounter. But I think that's it for AOD related stuff. Mm. Then the only other off-topic thing I could think of was when I have change, like coins, and they start building up in my pocket, I will just take change out of my pocket, throw it on top of my dresser, and then years will pass, and there'll be so much change on my dresser that when I throw more on, they all kind of landslide off and start falling onto the floor. And that's about the time that I will scoop it all into a big sturdy bag and haul it off to one of the coin sorting machines. So I had 19 pounds of coins.
Oh my God.
Which I dumped into a Coinstar machine and got with the Coinstar machine, you could get gift cards instead of cash in exchange, and when you do that, you don't have to pay the 9.8 service charge. And Amazon was an option, and there's lots of good stuff on Amazon, so I took the Amazon option. So I got the full $232 in value.
Wow.
And I figured, well, I can't just have this sitting on my Amazon account not being spent. So I ordered a PS Vita.
Ooh.
Which I was trying really hard to not even consider being an option until Giant Bomb did the quick look of the new Luminous game.
Is that?
And then I remembered how much I love Luminous.
Isn't that why people bought the original PSP? A whole bunch of people, just because Luminous was really cool?
Well, I got the original PSP, and like the first week it was out, and it was sold out like everywhere. And I just peeked into this little funky shop because they had video game stuff. And I'm like, oh, there's no way they're going to have it, but what the hell? I'm here. And they had like four. And I'm like, dude, give me one of those. And I guess I need a game. I'll take that puzzle game. And that's how I ended up with the original Luminous and didn't stop playing that for like 2 years.
That's such a good game.
Yeah, so I had to get the new one, which is also a really good game. So with the Vita though, like immediately a lot of people were like, "What do you think of it? How do you like it?" And I'm like, "Well, I got a game that doesn't really show off its graphical power, so I'm not even really sure how good it is on graphics yet." I downloaded the Uncharted demo and looked at that briefly, and it does look pretty good. It's not like PS3, Xbox 360 graphics, but it's not far away. It's pretty impressive how good the graphics are on that Uncharted.
Hmm.
And I was hoping that there would be a demo for Wipeout, but they don't have a demo for Wipeout. Things about it though, there are, like, with Luminous, I don't know why you can't navigate the menus just with the controls and you have to use touchscreen to navigate the menus. It's not like the menus that's the only thing in Luminous you use the touchscreen for, except for like activating a special ability in like versus games, which are ad hoc. Like, you can't even play over the internet versus, which is kind of a bummer.
Hmm.
So it would have been nice if I could have navigated the menus without rubbing my greasy fingers over the screen for no reason. I haven't had anything that uses the back touch screen yet. I'm getting used to how the D-pad feels. I was a little put off of it by it originally. It has two cameras, front and back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the start and select button. They're like flush against the surface. And so I'm like playing Luminous and I'm like duh, 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 going real fast. And then I have to like pause because something is distracting me and I need to pause and look away. And it's really hard to get the pause button pressed, the start button, because it's so small and so flush. And I've gotten in trouble a couple times because of that. The memory card issue is a real bummer because they're sticking with their proprietary memory stick format.
Ugh.
And so there's no competition, so prices are stupid. But the Amazon deal, and I don't know how long they're offering this. It was a limited time thing. But with the Wi-Fi version, which is what I ended up getting because it was $50 cheaper, and having 3G is kind of pointless when there's no way I'm going to get another 3D data account
mm-hmm.
just for this thing. So if I'm not near Wi-Fi, then I will live without any online connectivity. I'm probably not going to be using this thing so much that I'm going to miss online if I'm not near Wi-Fi. So the deal Amazon was doing and still might be doing is with the Wi-Fi version, they'll throw in the smallest, which is a 4 gigabyte memory card at no cost.
Mm-hmm.
So at least I got a memory card and I didn't have to spend extra for it. 4 gigabytes is almost useless for much more than save games. Like almost every game you can, if not every game, you could also buy and download instead of getting the cartridge. And it's not really a cartridge. It's barely bigger than an SD card. Actually, it might be thinner, just longer than an SD card. It's a very small flash kind of storage medium, which is nicer than those old UMD discs.
Mm-hmm.
But like some of these games might not even fit on the 4 gigabyte card. So if you are buying a card, you really shouldn't get anything smaller than the 8. And I think that's like $40.
That's such a bummer.
The 4 gigabyte was 20. Then the biggest one they do is, I think it's 32 or 36. I don't remember. 32.
Hmm.
That's $100. That's the one you would want. Like, really, if you wanted to take advantage of, like, the connectivity and being able to download things, you would want that 32.
Yeah.
But it's $100. It's,
this feels like a mid-2000s thing that should not be happening anymore. Like, memory costing that much, being all proprietary.
Yeah, and like there's an app store for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And right now the choices are very limited. There's like a Flickr app, a Netflix app, and I think like a Twitter
maybe a Facebook, and that's it right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if they really push it and they start trying to build that out, and that's going to be stuff that you're going to want to download, and then games, like, the cost of these memory cards is really a bummer. And then my understanding from, like, a Giant Bomb is when you buy games, I'm just going to call them cartridges because whatever. When you buy games on these cartridges, they can have memory in them for save games, but they're not required to. It sounds like it's up to the game maker whether or not to save space for save games. And if they don't, then it's on you to have a memory card with space. So there's going to be a lot of competition for space on your memory card. And 4 just isn't going to cut it if you want to do anything more than just downloading small things and save games.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really looking to spend $100.
Like I said, it just right feels like such an outdated problem to have. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, and using micro SD cards could have really brought that problem down.
Proud Sony hardware only uses proud Sony hardware. Carl Zeiss lenses and memory sticks.
Well, that's one thing that they changed with the PS3. Like everything on the PS3 like uses USB and SD cards, so it really seemed like Sony was starting to open up and use stuff that's readily available but it just seems like they've taken another step backwards from what Seth is saying.
It's just the whole Vita thing. Like, I think it looks really cool, but also it has all these aspects that just feel like software firmware issues that feel old. Like they feel like they're from back when I thought the PSP was the hot new thing. Weird.
Yeah. And this thing has a lot of game choices. Like, it's beyond the launch lineup.
Yeah.
Now that's what's available for, like, specifically for the Vita. Like, these are the Vita games. But like the PSN minis catalog is available. There's PSP games you could download and play.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, like when I went investigating what was available to download, there's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Not everything from the PSP seems available, because I did look for a couple specific PSP titles that I didn't find. But those were games that I had already played on the PSP. And now I'm just thinking of a couple more that might be interesting to look for. Because, like, there was one PSP game, Jeanne d'Arc, that I thought was great, that I think a lot of people missed out on. But that was a really good tactics.
I always wanted to get that
game.
And I never got around to buying it. I'd heard a lot of good stuff about it.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed it. So the point that I was going to make and then completely forgot about was people asking me, like, what are your thoughts? What are your opinions? Should I get one too? I feel like this is the sort of thing that I'm not going to really be able to recommend to people for at least 3 months. Like, 3 to 6 months from now, if I haven't bothered to recharge this thing in 3 to 6 months, then I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it doesn't turn into that. I'm hoping this thing turns into something awesome that I use regularly. Like, when the PSP came out, like, that was before smartphones, really. And I carried that thing around everywhere. I was attached to my PSP. I was into it. And then, you know, got an iPhone, and these games filled the void and did all this other stuff too. And just sort of got forgotten. And then I have this 3DS sitting over here that I haven't recharged since like last BotCon.
I was so bad with my 3DS, I never even updated its like its software. I never got, like, Find Me 2 until recently. And when I did, and I went onto the store and I bought some stuff like VVVVVV and Mighty Switch Force, I've actually been really enjoying it again. I got Pushmo, and Pushmo's been fantastic. So I'm hoping I can revitalize my 3DS activities a little bit. But
yeah, I didn't even know about Find Me 2 until Haley told me about it when we were eating lunch. Because she was taking that time to check her street passes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I didn't even think to bring mine, but you know, I already have all the hats and all the pictures. And she goes, oh no, there's way more. I'm like, oh, I should have brought mine. Gotten street passes. So we'll see how it goes. Luminous is great. I wouldn't recommend getting it just for Luminous, though, unless you have several hundred dollars in loose change.
I really like the part in that golf game where you could pick up the girl and like swing her around in the air and then put her down and she'd be like, yeah, and you put her down and she's like, mo, and then you play some golf.
Huh?
In the golf game.
Is that in Hot Shots?
Yeah, you can, if you can pinch like the back touch and the front touch to pick up the girl who's playing golf and then like lift her off the ground and she starts going like, ah, and then you can put her down.
Weird.
You could also poke her.
Did they do that in the quick look?
You might want to watch the quick look for Hot Shots goal.
Okay, I didn't see the
pretty good
quick look.
Yeah.
I watched about half of the Super Stardust, and I watched all of Luminous, and I think that was all that I saw of those.
You're going to want to check out the Hot Shots goal. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this thing could turn out to be great, but it's also coming out in a time where, you know, a lot of people are questioning if portable systems are relevant anymore in the smartphone age. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. But I hope this wasn't a bad decision to buy.
Well, you know what? You're able to talk about it now, which is always going to be helpful in discussions about the PS Vita.
Yeah. So everybody listening, go get one so they make games for it and it doesn't turn out to be awful. But I mean, look how long they supported the original PSP when it should have been dead.
Oh yeah. So, Sony won't hang up the towel. Hates
the Vita. Yeah. They never say die at Sony.
Strong Sony hardware. So,
and I think that's it.
All right. Well, yeah, I got nothing. So, Gog, carry us out of here on your off-topic what we got this week.
Porkins? Porkins. Well, Porkins came that I ordered last episode.
Oh.
Porkins and beans.
Yeah. So, I don't know if I'm going to decard him. If I do, I'm probably going to have to find some reason to make a big deal out of it. But
what's the proper way to decard a Porkins?
You have to make sure to try to not disturb his capital T crotch during the process.
What font size is that T?
Oh, man, I forgot.
That's serif or sans serif?
Seth said it last time. I'd have to re-reference that.
I just said capital T.
Oh, somebody mentioned letter. Somebody mentioned some fonts, but
no, I didn't mention fonts.
Okay,
the Wingdings.
Oh, there's no T in Wingdings.
Yeah, I know. I'm a fool.
New Times boner. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But you can't see it. Oh, sorry.
Huh? His name is Jack.
I know. We've been over this.
Okay.
But, so yeah, Porkins. I got my big rig from Rainer that I had mentioned, last time.
Yeah.
The, Glios. It's just like the wing rig, I guess, that I had gotten first time I talked about it, but it's got a bunch of extra pieces, so it makes it look big, hence big rig. He's cool. It's just, it's a little tricky sometimes because some of the, like, you'll find like a really good pose for it. And, but because of the extra pieces, like on the feet and stuff, it's a little hard to, there's some poses that it's a little hard to stand.
He's kind of wobbly on those things.
Yeah. But, you know, it, I still think it's really cool.
A little backstory on that thing. The story behind the big rig is that one day Matt Dowdy was sitting in a room with a bunch of rig parts and thought, what if I cut holes in this rig and stick pieces into it that are usually arms? And then he built that thing and then was like, I wonder if anyone wants to buy this. And then he asked some dudes that he talks to all the time. And they said, you should make a couple and sell them. And that's how that thing happened. It's literally a random, like, kit bash that happened in his garage one day. And turned out kind of cool. But that's also why it's a little bit janky, because it was, like, all those parts were designed to just be arms for the rig. And then he figured out, like, hey, I can stick them in here, and it kind of works.
But, yeah, one thing that was, like, it was pretty cool, the whole about the situation. I didn't even know it. I guess I didn't know how much the rig or anything cost. I mean, I wasn't anywhere near that thing when it dropped and never really shopped for one other than knowing that it's probably hard to find, so I'll get one day. So yeah, I had no idea that Rainer pretty much hooked me up at cost. And when you have a designer vinyl item like that that's made in super limited quantities, and some dude just says, hey, man, I know you're looking for this. Do you want it? And barely for more than what he paid for it. So really, 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 really appreciate that. So that probably never would have happened to me otherwise. So, yep. Lots of hugs and kisses to the artist formerly known as Trashy.
Mwah.
I had no idea that these things existed because I don't really follow a lot of the building block mini fig type things from different brands, but I was in a Target a few days ago and I didn't know that these existed, but they had like little Mario minifigs. And one thing that I also didn't realize is that they're not blind packed. Like, they show on the bag, like, what character they are. So you look at the box, and they have, you know, your normal crew of, they got a Mario and a Luigi and Yoshi. But then they had a fourth one on there, which was Bowser. And, like, you know, that's the one you want.
Yeah.
So they had like two or three boxes on the shelf, and I'm digging through the whole thing. They have super multiples of all these guys and never, ever found a Bowser. So I'm like, there's got to be something up here. Maybe he comes in a later wave. Maybe people are buying up all the Bowsers. I don't know. So do a little bit of research on the internet. It doesn't take me long to figure out that, like, Bowser is short packed to the extreme. Like, in a case of 50 of these minifigs, there's like one Bowser. So the day these things go out, one dude will grab the Bowser. That's it. The store might not see one for months. So, so I did a little search and I actually found one on eBay for like $10. So the retail price for those little dudes is like $3. So I'm like, okay. So yeah, I got me a little Bowser minifig. Cool. He can terrorize my Creons or something. I don't know. Like, my when I get the Auto Trooper pack, like, they can defend against the incoming Turtle Demon or something.
I want to see like five Auto Troopers fighting Bowser to a standstill. That would be a kind
yes.
of yes. Hey, fan art, Radicons, artists out there, if you draw that picture, I will. Like, nod.
Can I just say I'm not comfortable with how many times we have said short packed in this episode?
What are you talking about?
No, we're using it in the proper way.
Saying it too much. No, it's just one of those things. It's been said too much.
Dun, 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 okay.
It starts to lose its meaning.
Bum, bum, bum. Snake.
So, yeah. I got a gift in the mail from a dude by the name of Seth Three Buzzard.
That guy's a bully.
Yeah, three.
I just did it.
You want me to do it again? I'll do it.
Yeah. The one that he sent me was short packed, I think. For some reason, this knucklehead thought I was mad at him or something, so I guess he decided that he needed to pick me up a gift. So he got me a little charm, a little bangle thing. Of a super deformed Drossel, the original version with the ponytails, the pigtails. So, it's cool. I'll have to post a picture of it. And it has a little, another little charm sticking off the side, which is the Von Flügel family book that apparently the monkey, Schadenfreude, has memorized. And let me say, like,
what's that big yellow robot? What's that called?
Gedächtnis. Gedächtnis.
Gedächtnis. I don't know how to say German.
They had a couple of those in a little
thing. I'm gonna have to get that. I didn't know. I didn't even know these existed until you sent it to me.
That was the best reaction.
I didn't even know that was a deal. Otherwise, I could have. I would have just gotten you that one if I knew you were going to flip out.
Well, the only figure of Gedächtnis or Gedächtnis or whatever, however you pronounce it,
Gedächtnis
is Gedächtnis anu. Isn't that a Rammstein song? Right?
Oh man! Like, do you even have any German listeners? What it's like of that European aspect? It's like what?
Du Hoschmace,
me, T Former, and Dashiana are the only ones who are going to be rubbing our temples at this.
Well, you're doing it now, so
yeah.
At least we're getting one of the three out of the way.
There were two that I saw. Like, okay. One is just that dude, and then there was that dude, and he was holding something, like a jar or something. I don't know what it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, but previously, like, the only figure they ever made of him was a paper craft that came packed into, like, a special edition DVD. Like, that's it. That's the only thing they've made of him that I know of. So, knowing that they're a little SD versions of this dude, I'm going to have to track them down now, because that's cool. So, at the very least, thank you for the information.
You're welcome. At the least, you're welcome.
I got something that I think's cool. Nobody else probably does. But,
Nope. I already hit it.
I know. But, I got a statue of a character from Persona. Her name is Elizabeth. She's the best character in Persona 3.
Because she's a statue.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, this is the one time I'll make an exception for something like that, because Elizabeth is awesome. Elizabeth lives in the Velvet Room, okay? She's a denizen.
Sounds like a weirdo.
She is, but in all the right ways.
My hands are in the air. I'm not, you know, I got no opinion on Velvet. All right?
Mm-hmm. Blue Velvet.
Then why don't you be quiet?
Because I want to make sure that people know.
But
who cares?
That's it, you're right. They don't. But I had to say it. That it needed to be bought. It was bought. It was bought at a much cheaper price than I would have paid otherwise. Mm-hmm. It's made by Alter. Look it up. It's cool. I found some Joes. I haven't opened any of them, though. But I now have two Zombie Vipers and a Renegades Airtight. And a Renegades Cobra Trooper. So, but I need to open up those Vipers, but Zombie Vipers, but I just keep forgetting that I have them.
I really wouldn't want my nickname to be Airtight.
Yeah. Well, his episode in Renegades is awesome. It was one of my favorite Renegades episodes. And apparently I'm in the minority there, but I thought it was cool. Apparently the episode homaged several different Michael Crichton stories.
Oh, wow.
In case that interests anyone, but
I still need to check that show out because it's still not on my Netflix.
I think you should. It's good. I
want to. I have heard good from some people, and I have heard bad from other people, which makes me want to see it. Really makes me want to see it now.
Yep, but I liked it. And that's about it. The only other thing was, and I mentioned this on Twitter, but last time, because I was editing episode 187. As I was episoding it, I realized that because I edited it on a MacBook, the tip of my MagSafe power supply had begun to fray into nothing. So I realized that I had to put something on the power cord to hold it in a certain position or for the Mac to have enough power for me to finish editing. As I exported the final version, it gave way forever. So like as I was transferring the files from my Mac onto my desktop PC so I could zip them and send them over to you,
mm-hmm.
the Mac battery died. with no way to ever charge it. So
that was legendary. what you were telling me.
It was a very nervous series of events as I was finishing it up. It would have been several days before I would have been able to power that MacBook again, or I would have had to driven to an Apple store just to plug it in and then transfer the files to a USB drive or something. But it would have been a pain in the butt.
I was like, okay, so that weekend that you did that, like I was hoping it would be done on Friday, because that Saturday morning I was going to Congi in Guelph, where I had a good time and didn't buy anything. And so you sent it over while I was en route to Congi. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll put it up like Sunday night when I get back. But then I saw your story that you told me about how it all went down. I was like, all right, screw this. So I asked around about the internet, and then I went to someone's hotel room and just left my laptop running all day to both download and then upload the podcast on slow ass hotel internet, and it was done. And I was like, that's right. This is going up on the day if it ate through his power cord.
Mm-hmm. To get a new power cord, I think it costs like over $150 or something. Ugh. If you buy a brand new Apple one. So look, I found one on eBay, said it was guaranteed. It's total first party legit for like $25. So I'm like, yeah, okay. So bought it, and I now have power again to my laptop. So that was nice.
I wanted to ask, were you talking about Chogokin Charming Drossel on 187?
Yes.
I have a follow up on that, because I went to look, and she was in stock all over the place. So I luckily there was not a rush, so I was able to do some price hunting, some shopping around, and then I was like, okay, I was trying like mad. I was like, there's nothing else to ship with this toy that's out right now that I want that is not like too expensive. So then I sat there and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. So I waited until March 1 in Japan. Mm-hmm. And so I now have added Chogokin Charming Drossel to the pre-order that also includes Figma Charming Drossel. So I'm going to get a box with double Charming Drossel.
I'm looking forward to that Figma, because as cool as the Chogokin is, mm-hmm. like the amount of accessories that Figma comes with is nuts. Like she comes with the cloth cape.
Yes, that is going to be a box I might stream opening just because it's going to have double Drossel.
Yeah, so, and I still want to get that first version of the.
I'm now that you
by the end of the year.
Now that you've told me about the aftermarket on it, I am going to start prowling for that thing, because I am sure I've seen it pop up now and then for under the crazy markup.
Maybe. I've searched Yahoo Japan several times, and every time, like, most of them are just insane. I don't mind paying it. I got to get convention season out of the way first.
Yeah. But
by the end of the year, I will own one way or another.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, probably, like, usually my AmiAmi stuff doesn't end up shipping till the end of the month. The end of March, I should have double Drossel on the way. So.
Yay!
Double Drossel!
The only thing better than Drossel is double Drossel.
And do you know what? Back in BC, I still got Figma Drossel, which I should get sent over, because also somewhere in BC, I have Winter Drossel, who I have never opened, because...
Oh, I like Winter Drossel.
Yeah, I never got around to opening her, because every time I was like, oh yeah, Winter Drossel, I was like, I don't really feel like it right now. And then ended up not opening.
Wait till the wintertime.
Yeah, it's perfect. Say, so, hey, you know that toy that came out years ago? Hey, let's open this up.
I still remember when me and you discovered Drossel like on the same night.
Yes.
Like the pre-orders went up. Everybody on Toy on 4chan exploded, and me and you were just both like, "Who is this?" Mm-hmm. And on the same night, we downloaded the torrent of the show and started watching it and started aiming to each other like, "Whoa, this stuff is awesome."
Yeah. Well, I remember I put in the pre-order on that toy based entirely on how it looked. Because I was like, everyone's going nuts on this. I was like, well, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'll pre-order it. Then I watched the show, and I was like, I am so glad I pre-ordered this thing.
Yep. Exact same thing here. So,
and I have been a Drossel minion ever since.
Yeah.
But, good. I look forward to you getting that and sharing your thoughts.
All right.
Hold on. Hold on a second.
What's happening?
I don't know.
There you go.
Teaser.
Teaser.
But with that, I think we should call this one an episode. So welcome to March 2012, everybody. We are WTFATFW2005. If you would like to leave us a voicemail, the number is 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. That is 318-775-9830. My name is Vangelis. That was Gog, Dog, and Seth. Boys, shall we bring the roof down?
I thought we were going to raise the roof.
Shall we raise the roof up?
Yep.
Bum, 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 bum. Dun, dun, dun.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.